Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
All right, welcome to this evening's special conference call. There's a few of us here tonight, and we're just going through the complaint, or shall I say the action at law, that we're going to file for the gun law, for gun control, to get rid of gun control here in New York State. So last night we had part one, and tonight's going to be part two. I don't know if there's going to be a part three yet, but we'll soon find out. So anyway, with that, we're going to get started. And I guess what we'll do, Chris, is we're going to go back to number 29. We got two or three lines that we didn't correct yesterday. Well, actually, no, 29 and 31 was just that we had to check the citations.
That's
so
right.
That's okay then. There was just really one that we really left behind. I'm looking for that now. And I think it was number 9.
Oh, 9.
I have 9. 9 is redlined only because we don't know how many people are going to be on the the lawsuit yet. So, okay, I'm skimming through right now.
Was it true? Did I hear you correctly when you said last night that you have about 300 people signed on?
Oh, yeah. We have at least 300, I think. There's a big event going on Albany on the 29th. And I know thousands upon thousands will be there. I see it all over the internet.
Wow.
All the gun sites I've seen, the Rifle Association, and New York, all these different organizations, gun organizations, they all have it on their front page.
Yeah.
So
fantastic.
So big,
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm going to head up there with a table and papers, and I'm sure we'll get another couple of hundred to 1,000 up there. We may make 1,000 just going up there, but there's also other events, and I've seen that a lot of the liberty groups have swollen up. I mean, we have meetings up in Greene County, which we usually have 15, sometimes 20 people, and which is the norm up there. But the last meeting, goodness, they had like 50 new people show up there, so they had like 60, 70, maybe more people. So they had a real full room up there, and they're anticipating that again this next week, which is the 19th, I believe, Tuesday. And so I'm going to head up there, and I'll get signatures. A lot of them are gun people, and the sheriff's supposed to be up there. I'm going to hit the sheriff up
sure.
to get him up to this thing. but in any event, all right, and there's something going on down in Westchester. I'm trying to find out what that it may be. Maybe some opportunity to take the table down there and set it up and take up sign-ups again. All right, it looks like 34 is the problematic line here.
Okay.
It starts off with defendants have violated.
Okay, yep, I'm there now.
Okay, so let me read that and let's see where the awkwardness of this language is. The defendants have violated the people's unalienable right to privacy and to be secure in their papers. Now, I guess I should get rid of that comma in between then, huh? No, because it is a list of things, an alienable right to privacy and to be secured in their persons, houses. I probably should get rid of the end. Defendants have violated the people's unalienable right to privacy, comma, to be secure in their persons, comma, houses, papers, comma, and effects.
That sounds good. Yeah, just take out the and.
Okay, and then now after effects, maybe a semicolon?
No, I don't think so.
Leave a comma there? Or?
Yeah, we'll keep going and we'll see what this sounds like.
Okay, papers and effects by collecting data through gun control on their personal effects, and by making public such data and intimidating the people by imposing a permit in violation of the Fourth Amendment for the United States, Fourth Amendment for the United States, the comma after the amendment probably shouldn't be there, obligated by decree upon the state, this is an act of tyranny.
Right.
Okay, so it is kind of an awkward sentence.
Yeah, there may be a little redundancy in there, but maybe not. So let's try to pick this apart here. So the defendants have violated the people's... you have an apostrophe on people's?
Yeah, I have an apostrophe on people's.
Defendants have violated the people's inalienable right to privacy, to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects by collecting data through gun control on their personal effects. Okay, so yeah, I remember the discussion, the lengthy discussion that happened on this particular point. I think there was something to it. This probably should be reworked. Let me just think about it.
Yeah, it is a very difficult, because there's a lot of things going on here. There's a lot of points being made here. The word "and" by making public such data, let me try to read it without some of these "ends" in it. Maybe that may help us. The defendants have violated the people's unalienable right to privacy, to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. Something needs to kind of, I do have a comma there, but maybe a period, but it is extending. By collecting data through gun control on their personal effects, and by making public such data, and intimidating the people by imposing a permit in violation of the Fourth Amendment for the United States, obligated by decree upon the state, this is an act of tyranny.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. You can take out a couple of the ands there. So if you go...
on their personal property, personal effects, get rid of the end and go
right.
By making such public
right.
That...
So it's by collecting data, first of all, by making public such data.
Or making data public.
Because collecting data in the first place is like the first offense. Making it public is the second offense.
Right.
And then intimidating is the third. So if you say by collecting data on their personal effects, comma, by making public such data, comma, and by intimidating the people, and by imposing a permit, doesn't sound right. You definitely need to say, and by intimidating the people. So by collecting, by making public, and by intimidating.
Okay.
But then...
Well, okay.
But by intimidating the people, by imposing a permit. Is there a different way we can say that?
By intimidating the people requiring a permit? No, that's not good either.
Yeah. By intimidating the people with imposed permits or...
Yes, that's good, with imposed permits. That might be good.
Yeah, okay. I mean, put that in there for now. We'll see how that sounds when we do the whole thing. And then you can still say, comma, in violation of the Fourth Amendment for the United States, and then so on and so forth. I think the rest of that was good.
Okay, let me read it now. The defendants have violated the people's unalienable right to privacy, to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects by collecting data through gun control on their personal effects, by making public such data, and by intimidating the people with imposed permits in violation of the Fourth Amendment for the United States, obligated by decree upon the state. This is an act of tyranny. Now, this last line is a little tricky on defendants obligated, I guess it's pretty much understood that it is the defendants we're talking about.
Well, it's the Fourth Amendment which is obligated by decree, right?
Correct.
Right. So do you think there's some confusion there, or is that okay?
Yeah, I think it's okay.
Okay.
I think it is okay. excuse me.
I think that should be okay. So,
I think that's it. This is just a difficult, complex sentence. And,
Yeah,
that's
but
all there is to it.
I think that pass was pretty good. I think that sounded pretty good. So I think the only major issue left was the phrase that caused a lot of the discussion last night, which was the through gun control, that being maybe a vague phrase, like what do we mean by gun control? And we kind of spell it out a little more in the couple of lines following that.
Maybe we could change the word through to by means of gun control.
The defendants have violated the people's inalienable right to privacy.
Yeah, let me read it. To be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects by collecting data by means of gun control on their personal effects by making public such data and by intimidating the people with imposed permits and so on. Do you think we should leave through or by means? I don't have a problem either way.
Are all those things examples of gun control, collecting data, making
well,
the
absolutely,
data?
Absolutely, yeah. The fact that people are not secure in their houses and papers and their effects because of the collection of this data and that all their personal effects are made public, okay, this is an intimidation. And they do this by imposing the permits, which is in violation of the Constitution, that they're obligated by decree to decree to you know to follow or to what's the word I'm looking for? Well, to obey.
Yeah.
Of course, this
maybe,
is an act of tyranny.
Well, maybe if we swap the phrases around, it might actually because at this point. It sounds like the only thing that involves gun control is the collecting of data. When you say by collecting data through gun control, and then you move on to the other items which aren't part of gun control. That's what it looks like. So
but you know what I think we may do, because you're right. We may be able to break this up in two different things. One of the people, the fact that they're not secure, and the other one is that they're doing this by collecting data and intimidation. And so we might be able to kind of just break this sentence up into two different things, laying out the one point and then the second point. And, you know, even if we don't settle this up tonight, if this is something you take home for homework, and me too, we may be able to come up with something better.
That's true. You may actually just be able to do a simple swap of phrases, though, and it might be okay. If you just move the, you know, the gun control phrase further up in this sentence, and then you could just say, I mean, something blah 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 through gun control, and then say, namely, by collecting data on their personal effects, by making public such data, and so on and so forth. So it's like spelling out what are the specifics of gun control.
Okay, so if we put it somewhere up there by the defendant, the defendants. By collecting data through gun control on the people's personal effects have violated the people's unalienable right to privacy, and then go through the list.
Yeah,
you want to try that?
If you could even move it right up to the front and say like the defendants. I'll just this may not be the final wording, but it might be something like this. The defendants have imposed gun control to violate the people. No, that's not right either. Yeah, I might have to take this one as homework and hash it out and send you.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. Okay,
yeah.
We could figure this one out.
I'm sure you can figure it out, but it's just a little. I
just make a note on 34. I forgot how difficult this one was. This is the most difficult sentence here. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's jump down. We're going now to 44, trespass on the case.
Okay.
And give me just a second. Just want to take a look at the room, see if anyone new came in. Okay, I guess not. Oh, yeah, Georgie. How you doing, Georgie? Georgie's here. Okay, 44. The people ordained and established the Second Amendment so as to inform our servant governments that they are not to trespass upon the people's right to bear arms and defend themselves against criminals and tyrants. And then I have a quote, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, Second Amendment. What do you think in the way of any corrections? And I'm wondering if I should drop this right to bear arms down to the next line.
Oh, make it a separate item? Yeah, I think that's what you did further up where you...
Yeah, but you, I'm not going to do that now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read it later because we'll get too far off numbers if we do.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Maybe just make a note to split that out.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to go through and I'm going to look at each line, and I think I'm going to split a lot of stuff up.
Okay.
Just give it another line so it's more of an admit and denied line that the people that they can deal with. Not that we believe they're going to answer them, but at least we'll put it in a form that they can answer.
Right.
I mean, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, the Second Amendment. They're going to say denied, because what else can they say?
So I think... you probably want to capitalize Second Amendment up in the first line.
Okay, yeah, right.
And then in the second line, just move the apostrophe to before the S in peoples.
Yes, yeah, I saw that when I was reading it. Okay, done.
I think that's it.
And then when we get to tyrants, should we put a period there since we're going to break it away later?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. 45. The defendants clearly trespassed upon the case when they infringed, by force, gun control upon the right of the people to bear arms, giving way to a series of torturous encroachments. Beginning with the issuing of gun permits that unconstitutionally empowered government bureaucrats authority over the people, who may or may not grant a permit and may take more than a year to grant, meanwhile leaving the people defenseless, violated, subject, intimidated, and intruding into our personal lives. Now, the word torturous and encroachment are important legal words.
Yeah, encroachments I'm pretty familiar with, but tortious, I never actually
torturous,
thought about
it. Torturous, if you look at it's number 20,
yeah.
Wrongful of the nature of a tort, formerly certain modes of conveyance, had the effect of passing not merely the estate of the person making the conveyance, but the whole free simple to the injury of the person really entitled to the fee, and they were hence called torturous conveyances.
Huh. Okay.
So it's kind of a complex word, but basically the word torture is kind of in view here. You know, it's something uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. Okay, so yeah, a couple of things that jump out here. The defendants clearly trespassed upon the... What does that mean, upon the case? That's more legal language?
Well, that is legal language. As a matter of fact, if you look at the title here, it's trespass on the case, and
yeah.
That is what's called a cause of action.
Okay. Okay.
When I was looking through my book, and I remember seeing this before, and I thought trespass upon the case, and I looked through my book to find it, and this is right on mark, the meaning of it.
Yep.
And ultimately, it's trespassing upon you as an individual, your rights, your being, your person. It's trespass. And, you know, what's interesting in legal fiction and in reality, but in the legal fiction, you know, and the Bible talks like this too, your body, your physical body is referred to in the Bible as land. And they have taken... control of that particular word in the fiction of offshore, and they've taken your land. They're taxing your land, which is your body, and they're sorry that your soul and your consciousness has to go along with it when they put your land in prison because they're confiscating it. And it's very strange because they have taken something and have made it very strange. So.
Right. Well, okay, so the defendants clearly trespassed upon the case when they infringed by force gun control upon the right of the people. I think you can say this one, at least one of two ways. You could either say when they infringed by force of gun control upon the right of the people, or because infringed refers to the right of the people, not to gun control. The way it's written here, it sounds like they infringed gun control. But you could say they imposed gun control upon the right of the people.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Or you can say, if infringed is a word you want to keep, you can say...
That's a very important legal word also, but we can go maybe infringed by force upon the rights of the people.
Right. So you can say by force of gun control.
Let's bring let's get the focus of infringement up there. So we'll take upon the right of the people to bear arms. We'll take that entire point, and I'll bring it up and drop it in behind right after infringe. I'll get rid of the comma. Let me see. The defendants clearly trespassed upon the case when they infringed upon the right of the people to bear arms. Then it should be, by force, comma, by force, comma, or by force. Okay, this is where we're going to have to work it out.
Yeah. I think the order of the words you have here is okay. It's just that the way it's written now, it says it is you're infringing gun control. That means you're trespassing.
Well, what if we put by force in front of infringed? When they by force infringed upon the right of the people.
I think you can still say infringed by force, but gun control is kind of like this hanging term in there that
that's the problem.
So you could say, when they infringed. I mean, if you took gun control out, it would sound like when they infringed by force upon the right of the people to bear arms, and that makes sense.
We don't need the word gun control here.
Oh, that's fine then. Yeah, take that out and just say when they infringed, by force, upon the right of the people to bear arms, and then so on and so forth, and that should be fine.
Okay, so the by force should be after infringed?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so there's and that has commas on both sides of that by force.
Sure. Sure.
Okay. So, infringed. Okay, let me get it and let's try to read it now. The defendants clearly trespassed upon the case when they infringed by force upon the right of the people to bear arms, giving way to a series of torturous encroachments, beginning with the issuing of gun permits that unconstitutionally empowered government bureaucrats' authority over the people, who may or may not grant a permit and may take more than a year to grant, meanwhile leaving the people defenseless, violated, subject, intimidated, and intruding on our personal lives, period.
Right.
And this is an act of tyranny. Maybe we should throw that in there.
You could.
Well, we're pushing on the trespass of the case. We now changed into a different line of thinking. I mean, we could put that there, but let's see if I can find it. This is an act of treason. Let me cut and paste that. I mean, copy that.
Is that so? This is you would then keep using the word treason instead of tyranny.
On one hand we say this is an act of treason, on the other side we would say what? This is tyranny.
Oh, I think it's like you said last night. It's the mantra that we've used in a bunch of these places. It started out by saying this is an act of tyranny, and then at one point it became treason, which was something
right.
A little more direct and specific.
Right. Now, and the main reason we used the two different things, one was in the action of the individual and the other was the collective of the, of the whole government working together in the sense of like the governor and the assembly and the Senate and voting. So that's an act of treason. But the actual act of treason in play becomes tyranny because it's an action now. You're being arrested and hauled off to jail and so on.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably don't need to put it in here.
Yeah, we'll leave it alone.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. So I just a couple more thoughts then. I think after gun permits in the third line, so beginning with the issuing of gun permits, that comma doesn't have to be there. Beginning with the issuing of gun permits that unconstitutionally empowered government bureaucrats, you should probably say with authority, it empowered them with authority over the people.
With authority, got it.
And then who may or may not grant a permit. So this is the bureaucrats, right, who may or may
correct.
Not grant a permit? Because it
correct.
Sounds like it's the people who may or may not grant a permit. So unconstitutionally empowered government bureaucrats with authority over the people. Let's see. If you keep that phrase where it is, you could make it refer to the people by saying bureaucrats with authority over the people who may or may not be granted a permit. So that makes it about the people. If you want to make
right.
it about the bureaucrats, we have to move that somewhere because it's confusing. It makes it seem like you're talking about the people.
Okay, who may or may not be granted. That's good enough. It still tells the same story, a permit.
Yeah, you're right, right. So who may or may not be granted a permit. And you could keep it in reference to the people. So who may or may not be granted a permit and may wait more than a year to be granted one or something like that.
More than a year to grant. To grant a permit?
Well, it's still talking about the people. So... Let me back up a little bit here. Beginning with the issuing of gun permits that unconstitutionally empowered government bureaucrats with authority over the people who may or may not be granted a permit.
Why don't we leave it there? We'll get rid of the waiting of the year.
Okay.
That is an added torturous situation in the sense that it's... You know, it really sucks that you got to wait a year. I've been waiting right now literally a year and 3 months. Literally, here in Dutchess County.
Yeah, that's you could take that phrase out and the sentence would still be meaningful.
Absolutely. We don't need to put that in, although it is an additional torturous act, but nevertheless, it's not necessary.
Yeah, I mean, you could always list it separately in another line, but so then it would be... beginning with the issuing of gun permits that unconstitutionally empowered government, could be trespassed, this is past tense, when they infringed, okay, that's fine. So that unconstitutionally empowered government bureaucrats with authority over the people who may or may not be granted a permit,
Or we could just say we can get rid of meanwhile, just put a comma, leaving the people defenseless, violated, subject.
Yeah,
so,
sure. Leaving
get rid of meanwhile.
Violated, subject, and the rest of that should be fine. Oh, wait. Leaving the people defenseless, violated, subject, intimidated, and then the last phrase doesn't describe the people anymore. It describes what the government is doing. So leaving the people defenseless, violated, subject, intimidated, and intruding into a... Yeah, I'm not sure how to say that last phrase to make it about the people, because the first four descriptions are about the people, and then you go back to the government here. May or may not be granted a permit.
Leaving the people defenseless, so on. No?
Yeah, It's all fine until you get to the very last five words.
Okay, so let's look at this. Leaving the people, authority over the people who may or may not be granted a permit, leaving the people defenseless, violated, subject, intimidated,
intruded upon,
and intruding onto our personal lives.
And it's a good point to make, but the flow is difficult.
Personally intruded upon.
Yeah.
Granted, may or may not be granted a permit. Okay, well, intruding on our personal lives may be able to go up somewhere further up the line. Trespass upon the case. That's already saying it's intruding. So maybe we don't even need that. It's kind of a redundant point here in the sentence.
It's a good punchy thing to say, but it would help the flow of the sentence if you left it off and just said defenseless, violated, subject, and intimidated.
Yes, I take it. Yeah, and intruding into our personal lives is a redundancy to the defendant's clearly trespassed to compound the case, because it means pretty much the same thing.
Sure, yep.
And the trespass is the legal term. Trespass upon the case is the legal term. So let's take that out.
Right, okay. And then that should flow.
And we change subject, and then we put the word end after that, and
yep.
Intimidated, period.
Period, yep.
Okay, next line. Constitutional rights would be of little value if they could be indirectly denied. Next line, and that's a quote from case law, U.S. Supreme Court. 47. This continued encroachment upon the right of the people to defend themselves by the defendants has grown into the most restrictive and repugnant gun statutes, erroneously called laws, in the nation, namely New York Penal Code Law 265 and 400, and the New York SAFE Act. And we're going to take SAFE, and we're going to cap everything, SAFE. And that's it. SAFE
yeah.
Act, period.
Yeah, there was one thing that jumped out at me there. Let me just go back here. This continued encroachment upon the right of the people to defend themselves. Oh, right, okay. If you move by the defendants further up so that it reads...
The defendants continued encroachment upon the right of the people.
You could say that, yep. The defendants continued encroachment, so defendants with an apostrophe after the S.
Okay, let me get over there. Control V. The defendants, apostrophe S. Got it.
Put the S first and then the apostrophe in this case.
Put the what?
Put the apostrophe after the S in this case.
After the S, okay. So the defendants' continued encroachment upon the right of the people to defend themselves has grown into the most restrictive and repugnant gun statutes, erroneously called laws, in the nation, namely New York Penal Code Law, subsection 265, subsection 400, and the New York SAFE Act, capital SAFE.
Yep, that's fine.
Okay, 48. The defendants, by managing the people's that should be an apostrophe S there, right? The defendants, by managing the people's education and media, have deceived the people to believe that statutes are law. Statutes are not the law of the land, but subject to jurisdiction. 49. Well, let's leave that.
Yeah.
How's that look? Is that good?
I'm trying to think. It's kind of a big statement to make. You're kind of deviating from the focus here by it's almost like a new accusation by saying.
And it is. What we're doing now is we're saying the fact that they've used these penal codes and the SAFE Act, that in itself, the people think it's law. I mean, they're going up and everyone's calling it law. everybody's calling. You know, if you really listen, I've become very attuned to this, and I've listened to, for instance, I went up to the gun rally. Were you up at the gun rally?
Oh, I was not there, no.
Okay. Anyway, up at the gun rally, I was listening to the speeches, and they used all the language of slaves. They called themselves citizens, law-abiding citizens. And they used a lot of language. They called this a law. All the language of the slave, those who are subject to it. And if they only, if everybody was to able to come to the understanding, if everybody could realize the point that we're being made right here, that these statutes are not laws and cannot be applied as long as you don't allow them to have jurisdiction over you. You deny the jurisdiction, stick to your guns, and fight it. You will win it. And if everybody did that, they'd have to close down the courts.
And this
that's why Jefferson said, you know, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be.
I think that this line 48 here, item 48, there almost becomes a separate accusation of the managing of the education and the media.
Yes and no. A couple of things. Remember, we're talking about trespass on the case. If they had a legal right or an authority, they were given the authority to legislate law that can be applied upon the people, there would be no trespass. Okay? The fact of the matter is that they don't have the law, it's pretended law, and it's really statutes, and that's the point being made, because the last line, you know, is the closure here. The common law is the real law, the supreme law of the land, the code. Let me reread that. The common law is the real law, the supreme law of the land. The code, rules, regulations, policies, and statutes are not the law. And that's Self versus Ray, and I believe that's a U.S. Decision, U.S. Supreme Court decision, either that or New York. For some reason, I want to say New York because I think I recall Thornton talking about this one.
Yeah, but I mean, do you want to go so far as to, I mean, not that I disagree, but do you want to go so far as to say that to accuse the defendants of managing the people's education and media? I mean, essentially what that sounds like is the defendants have control of the educational system and the media, which I believe is true. But
I'm absolutely saying that.
Is there anywhere in this action at law that we substantiate that? I mean,
we're making a point of fact. We're not substantiating it here. Can we prove it if we have to? I think we can. Do we have to prove it in this paper? No, we don't.
Okay, because if they do respond to any of these things, that might be responded to as a, you know, kind of a broad, statement that has no support given in this paper, and so they might just disregard it.
Well, here's the thing. The media gets out there and calls statutes law. Where do they get that from, except from lawyers and Congress and the government? And they manage the people's education. They've destroyed us. Our children are destroyed. These are absolute facts. We can prove this, but it's too lengthy to prove here. And
sure,
if it's something
yeah.
they denied, it would be something we would focus in on and respond maybe with a lengthy memorandum dealing with these items of denial. But again, I don't think they're even going to deny it. But here's the big, big point to this whole thing. They're taking statutes, applying them as law, and they're convicting us in courts by judges who know that they have to get jurisdiction over you. And I don't know. I got to believe they, to some degree, they must understand why they have to get jurisdiction. You know, these courts, I have found, do not go forward without getting the jurisdiction. And when we challenge jurisdiction, they do everything they can to get past this point, but they never get through the arraignment. The arraignment never takes place. And it becomes very frustrating to them, and it's like they know they got to get you to say guilty or not guilty. They got to get you to say those words. They are taught that in judge school, and judge school we found out is 9 days long, and all these town judges, most of them have no legal background whatsoever.
Did you say with 9 days?
9 days is the judge school, yeah.
That's it?
That's it.
What?
And most of them are not lawyers. so they don't have any statute backgrounds because that's what they think law is, and they're trained that this is law. And you go to law school. My brother went to law school, and he says absolutely true. They didn't talk about the Constitution. They brought it up occasionally, but they taught them never to bring that up into their papers, that they can always find statutes or case law to support their point. They don't need to bring up the Constitution. Don't muddy the waters. Also, they're told never to call the people. Stay away from the word people. Don't use that word in your papers also. So they're taught these things. And so that's a big conspiracy. It's in the education. It's in the teaching of the lawyers. It's in the people's education. We're taught to be law-abiding citizens, which should be statute-abiding citizens, because law is not law to lawyers.
Right.
So,
okay.
I think we'll leave it. We definitely got to leave it in here. If we have to defend it, we'll defend it later.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. If they call it out, then deal with it then. Sure, that's fine.
Okay, but sentence-wise, this is good then.
Yeah, I think if you go to, let's see, have deceived the people to believe that statutes are law, you should put a period there and then start a new sentence. Statutes are not the law of the land, but are subject to jurisdiction.
Okay, so period after law, capital S on the statutes, are not the law of the land, comma, but subject to jurisdiction.
Yeah, you'd probably say, but are subject.
Oh, but are.
Yes. Yeah, so,
well,
so
let's take that. Let's take. Maybe I should take that part out, because the fact that they're subject to jurisdiction, which is true, that's a fraud, and we don't want to agree that that's a good thing that they can be subject to jurisdiction. We know that they are subject to jurisdiction. In legal land, but it's a fraud.
So you just want to say statutes are not the law of the land, period?
Period. That's what I think I'm going to do.
That leads right into 49.
Yes, because right. I don't need to get into the jurisdiction part of that.
Sure.
At least not in this paper.
That's fine then.
Okay, so now we're in 50, new heading, interpretation of Second Amendment. This should go pretty quick because it's mostly quotes. A lot of these you've already corrected the citations.
Oh, this is a lot. Okay, yep. Got one last thing, though. Go back to the second line of 49.
Yep.
Put around the phrase, not the law. At the very end of that, of 49,
okay.
Change those double quotation marks to single
right.
quotation marks.
Okay.
Because it's inside of a quote.
It's yeah.
An
you know, and you're right. This, I did not play with these quotes.
Oh, really? That's the way it's...
Yeah, this is the way it came out to me.
So is there a quote then at the beginning of 49?
Yes, it starts off on the very beginning, the common
really?
Law, that this whole thing is a quote.
Okay.
I think maybe we may take the quotations out from before the not. Maybe someone added this in. I surely didn't.
Okay.
Because
right.
I don't think it belongs there. I think someone was trying to make a, you know, an impression on that point, not the law.
Oh, I see. I see. They were trying to emphasize it.
Yes, and okay. And if you when you read case law, they stay away from any emphasizing, and I try to do the same thing, but there are some times that I just think we have to.
All right.
You know?
Maybe if you take a little bit of license, yeah, you can take those quotes out.
Yeah, I took that one quotation mark out.
That's good.
And again, if you put too much emphasis on too many words, then it just becomes too much of a problem
sure.
as you're reading it, you know, like you're yelling at them, you know what I mean?
Right.
And we are. Okay.
Okay.
Interpretation of the Second Amendment. Okay. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. U.S. Constitution, Amendment 2nd, is passed by Congress. Okay, that is what it is.
Right.
And by the way, you see that long dash there? That's what you were looking for, right?
That's the M dash thing that they were talking about last night. Yeah. In fact, there's two of them there. You could take one of those out.
Yeah, I did.
Yep. that's the cleanup.
51. The unalienable right to defend life and liberty is a natural right and is not to be refused by a just government. How's that?
You read it correctly, but you put a word in, which should be there, put and is not to be refused.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's not in there.
Okay, to be refused by a just government.
Correct.
52. The unalienable right of a people to use deadly physical force when they believe the life of themselves or another is in jeopardy shall not be infringed upon, nor shall their unalienable right to bear arms be forfeited for any period of time for so doing, or for doing so, maybe.
Yeah, for doing so.
How's that one? Is this one okay other than that?
Now, maybe this comes from some kind of, legal.
Well, these are statements that I'm making up front, and then all this proof of these points are going to be made by our founding fathers.
Right. So the right of the people to use deadly physical force when they believe the life of themselves or another is in jeopardy, do you want to say is unjustly in jeopardy,
Well, in jeopardy is in jeopardy. They're in danger, wouldn't you think? If you see that someone's going to be stabbed or something, and their life, and maybe we should use the word their life is in jeopardy. Another's life is in jeopardy.
If a murderer is about to be executed, his life is in jeopardy too. But then it's considered, justly in jeopardy, right? There's a good reason for it.
Well, maybe I'm not being clear, or maybe I'm not understanding what you're saying. Let me try to tell you what I'm trying to say,
and
see if what you're getting at of this is that the point is this: if you pull a gun on someone because you have a gun, the idea is never pull the gun unless you're ready to use it. The point is you're pulling it out to use it. Okay, you're gonna kill somebody.
Right.
And that's
right.
The other thing that that's been, and it makes sense, go to kill, because you're trying to stop someone from either killing you or killing someone else, and you have to stop them. So that's the point. The person who is in jeopardy is either you or maybe some other innocent person. We're not talking in any way of the life of the criminal being in jeopardy. Are you seeing it that way or the other way?
I'm saying it could be that. This statement could include a criminal. It could include somebody whose life is in jeopardy, but someone whose life is rightfully in jeopardy.
But that's not what I'm trying to say. Here's the big problem, and I want to get this, and I'm going to get this into the wherefore clause. In the reality of today here in New York State, if you were to pull out your gun and shoot someone and kill them, when the cops come onto the scene, they're going to arrest you, they're going to fingerprint you, and then they're going to go through this whole process, and they're going to take your gun away. And then, when they discover that, there's nothing wrong with you, you're okay, and they may or may not fingerprint you. But the point is, you get into the police station, they interrogate you, and they decide, okay, you this was a rightful killing, you can go home now. But you can't take your gun with you.
Yeah.
And you're never going to get it back without a big, huge court case.
Right.
So we have to stop that. That's insane. When you leave that station, if you're found innocent, you walk out of there with your gun.
Yep.
End subject. So that's what I'm trying to say here, if you can figure a better way to say it. But I also want to make the point that you have the right to kill someone, whether your life is in jeopardy or someone else's life is in jeopardy, that you're trying to protect someone. So let's see if we can say that more clearly.
Yeah. I definitely agree with the point. Let me read it again here. The unalienable right of people to use deadly physical force when they believe the life of themselves or another is in jeopardy shall not be infringed upon.
Maybe Obama should be there.
I think that's okay.
Okay.
Nor shall their unalienable right to bear arms be forfeited for any period of time for doing so. No, I think that's right.
Okay. All right, 53.
Go ahead.
53. Our founders did not leave us in the hands of tyrants. They understood the dangers of the private interpretation of our unalienable rights by the enemy of liberty. They said, let me go back and reread this. Our founders did not leave us in the hands of tyrants. They understood the dangers of the private interpretation of our unalienable rights by the enemy of liberty. They said, on every question of construction, talking about the Constitution, let us carry ourselves back to the time when the Constitution was adopted, recollect the spirit manifested in the debates, and instead of trying what meaning may be squeezed out of the text or invented against it, conform to the probable one in which it was passed. And he's got a PAST. You think that was correct?
That did jump out at me, and I did check it, and that is the way that it's spelled.
Okay.
In fact, I think I actually read a scan of the original letter, the actual letter,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way it was spelled. So maybe
yes.
Jefferson misspelled it, but
yeah, we'll leave it there. So anyway, and I make the same mistake, so I can appreciate him. So Thomas Jefferson in that letter to William Johnson. Okay, so that's setting the stage. There's maybe one. Yeah, there's only one more line, and then after this, it's all quotes. But here, this sets the stage to the point. Let's go back and see what our founders said. Let's have them interpret it, because this is what Jefferson said.
Right.
So in
53 here, our founders did not leave us in the hands of tyrants. That should either be a period and then start a new sentence, they understood the dangers, or you could say, you could leave it as a comma and say, rather they understood the dangers. It's like a run-on sentence the way it is.
Yeah, I kind of would like to not break that up into two sentences if I don't have to.
But what, say it again?
If I don't have to break it up into two different lines, I don't mind putting a period there, but keeping it on the same line. Our founders did not leave us in the hands of tyrants, period. They understood the dangers of the private interpretation of our unalienable rights by the enemy of liberty.
What does that mean, the private interpretation?
Well, a private interpretation, maybe we should use, well, here it is. When people say we don't have the right to bear arms, and a lot of people believe that, and they use these false premises to make their point, and they ignore everything else. The fact of the matter is, there's no doubt in my mind, especially after going and studying, but there's no doubt in my mind you have a right to defend yourself, and you have a right to a weapon, and we have a right to defend ourselves from a government, and we need the kind of a weapon we need in order to defend ourselves from the government. That can't be infringed, and that's what it means, and there's nothing to talk about it. When people squeeze it to move it this way or that way, that's a private interpretation. Although you're right, you may have a right on that statement comes out of my Bible studies. Maybe, you know, because maybe it doesn't belong there, but maybe there's another way to say it. I don't know.
When you say private interpretation, you mean like a personal interpretation or a subjective interpretation?
Well,
is that kind of what you mean?
Well, an incorrect interpretation. Well, the fact that they make an interpretation, it doesn't need to be interpreted. We don't need to interpret this. First of all, it is clear where, you know, it talks when we read, well, let's just go back, a well-regulated militia being necessary to secure the free, of the security of the free state, there's a comma there, okay? And it adds on, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. What
right.
part of that that they don't understand? They have a right to keep them, and they have a right to bear them. What
right.
are they talking about? And now we're going to see how the Founding Fathers talked about the militia, and the militia is the people. It's everyone from 16 to 60, okay? That's what Benjamin Franklin said that, but we're going to find out because we have it in here.
So
that's what I'm trying to say. They put a private interpretation or maybe a private interpretation is not good because when I said, like I said, that comes from my biblical studies.
Okay.
When you take the Bible and you give it an interpretation that God hasn't given it, that's a private interpretation. It's not a godly interpretation.
Okay. I guess what part of what threw me is that you say the private interpretation, so it made it sound like there was a specific one. So you can keep that in there. Maybe if you just say they understood the dangers of private interpretations of our unalienable rights.
Okay, of private interpretation. Okay, yes, that will be good. Of private interpretations, plural.
Right. Of our unalienable rights. And I think you can take out the commas.
Well, is interpretations focusing in with an S on the unalienable rights, or is it interpretations plural? I'm thinking plural.
Yeah, plural, yep.
Okay.
Yep,
should there be a comma after that then?
No, let's see. They understood the dangers of the they understood the dangers of private interpretations, plural, of our unalienable rights. You can probably take out the commas here. Say unalienable rights by the enemy of liberty, period.
Okay.
Let me see how that reads. They understood the dangers of private interpretations of our unalienable rights by the enemy of liberty.
The founders said, or our founding fathers said.
Right, yeah, probably be specific. Yeah, the founders said. Or actually, well, right now you're quoting Jefferson, right?
Jefferson, but yes, he's not giving a point that is unagreed with by the others. In other words, this is a, when you read the papers and the Federalist papers, when they're hashing things out, and this is exactly what he's talking about. You want to figure out, if you have a problem reading this and you don't understand it, and you want to try to squeeze it to say this or squeeze it to say that,
right.
Just stop what you're doing, go back and just listen to the debates at the time in the spirit when they manifested themselves in the debates.
Right.
And you'll know what they mean.
And this really is an excellent point because, like you said, it's the same thing with the Bible. You try to make it fit a present day understanding, present day language, and everything. If you want to know what the founders really meant, you read what the founders wrote. The people that wrote the Constitution, that wrote the Declaration of Independence, read the other things that they wrote because they talk at great length about these things.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes very clear. Yes. So it is a very good point to make.
Okay, so I'm going to, when we put a period there, I'm going to give a few more words, and I'm going to put our founding fathers said. Okay?
Yeah. And then, let's see, so it's, yeah, sure. Yep.
Okay, now, what's that double dot? That's a colon, right?
Where are we here? Yeah.
After the word said, so that belongs there, or a semicolon.
Yeah, typically when you're setting up for a quote, like if you said the founding fathers said, and then a quote, you put a comma. In this case, you're quoting one particular founder.
Right.
I guess. Yeah, you can keep the colon there. That's fine.
Okay. All right, and then I'm not going to read what he said. We already read it on every question. Okay, 54. Therefore, let us review what our founding fathers said concerning the right of the people to bear arms and defend themselves. Note that they call this a right and not a privilege. They do not speak of permits, licenses, or any kind of legislated control, for a right seeks no approval.
Also, very good points, yes. Let's see. Therefore, let us review what our founding fathers said concerning the right of the people to bear arms and defend themselves. You can probably take out the comma between bear arms and defend themselves.
Okay.
And then just make it a period. So the right of the people to bear arms and defend themselves, period.
Okay.
And then note that they call this a right and not a privilege, period.
Okay.
They do not speak of permits, licenses, or any kind of legislated control, for a right seeks no approval. And that should all be fine.
Okay. Then leave all the commas that are thereafter.
Right. Yep.
Okay. right, we're just going to read through these. If you want to stop me, stop me. I want to kind of just push through this. These are just quotes from our founding fathers. If we get to, I don't think I add anything in here until maybe the end or the next section, because now let just the fathers speak. Okay, a Bill of Rights is what the people are entitled to against every government on earth, general or particular, and what no just government should refuse or rest on inference. And as you notice, we're now going to see all the points we made are going to be proven. Thomas Jefferson. A free people ought to be armed. George Washington. Now that, well, that I think is a correct one. That comes out of the, we have an actual quote where that's found.
Right.
Okay, George Washington. No free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms on his own lands. Jefferson. All powers. Now, there may be one or two that you may jump up on that I left in, and if you pick on them, we'll highlight them for further research.
Yeah, I'll, in fact, I mean, I don't even have to jump on them now. I mean, I can, I'm still working on my list of correct,
okay,
you know, any quotes that need corrected, so I can just send that to you.
Okay, so we'll leave everything in here, and then you'll check the citations.
That's fine, yep.
Okay. All right, and we're not going to do anything until at least the end of next week, so.
Right.
We got time. Okay. All powers is inherent in the people, that it is their right and duty to be at all times armed, Thomas Jefferson.
Yep.
Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the people of other countries whose rulers are afraid to trust them with arms, James Madison. And that now, I don't know why this is broken this way, but maybe when you check this particular citation, and that the said Constitution be never construed to authorize Congress to infringe the just liberty of the press or the right of conscience or to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms, Samuel Adams. And by the way, citizens did not have the understanding in those days as they've turned it out to be in these days, and that's the big problem we have. They've screwed up our language so bad. All right. The Constitution of most of our states assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves in all cases to which they think themselves competent, as in electing their functionaries, executive, and legislative, and deciding by a jury of themselves both fact and law, that's very interesting right there, in all jurisdictionary, matter of fact, I need to mark that and come back later to pull this out. I want to put it in a footnote. both fact and law, in all jurisdictionary judiciary cases in which any fact is involved, or they may ask by representatives freely and equally chosen, that it is their right and duty to be at all times armed to freedom of person, freedom of religion, freedom of prosperity, and freedom of the press. Again, Thomas Jefferson. 63. Among the natural rights of the colonists are these first, a right to life, second to liberty, thirdly to property, together with the right to defend them in the best manner they can. Samuel Adams. No free man shall ever be debarred the use of, that's a redundant, we said this already, right?
Yeah, that's a repeat.
I'm taking that out.
Yep.
Okay. A strong body makes the mind strong as to species of exercise. I advise the gun. While this gives moderate exercise to the body, it gives boldness, enterprise, and independence to the mind. Games played with the ball and others of that nature are too violent for the body and stamp no character on the mind. Let your gun, therefore, be the constant companion of your walks. Thomas Jefferson, in advice to his 15-year-old nephew. Firearms stand next to importance to the Constitution itself. They are the American people's liberty teeth. Now, I think this was questionable. This might be in Washington. And
yeah, this one is, yeah. Keep going.
And keystone under independence, the church, the plow, the prairie wagon, and citizens' firearms are indelibly related. from the hour the pilgrims landed to the present day, events, occurrences, and tendencies prove that to ensure peace, security, and happiness, the rifle and the pistol are equally indispensable. Every corner of the land knows firearms, and more than 99% of them, by their silence, indicate that they are in safe and sane hands. The very atmosphere of firearms anywhere and everywhere restrains evil influences. They deserve a place of honor with all that's good. Where firearms go or goes, we need them every hour. Now, this was, I saw this, and it was referred to address in the second session of the first U.S. Congress, and I think you pulled this out as a possible problem. I think we need to investigate this one because this is very powerful. If we have to pull it out, we have to pull it out, but we may find that maybe someone else said it and they want to just put it to George Washington. But if it is someone else, even if they're not a very well-known individual, as long as it's back in those days, And in within the debates, maybe even in the newspaper through the debates or whatever, then we would like to keep this in and put the proper person who said it.
Yeah, what I'll do is this definitely is one of the questionable ones, and I'll when I send you my updates, I'll make sure that I point out the source that I went to, because there was some foundation or organization that had done.
Yes.
Search, and they said, you know, we can't find anywhere where George Washington said this.
Right.
So,
well, I did find out, you know, I did find that there are some places calling a lot of these things hoaxes and are not the Second Amendment group. And again, I don't even know that could be a phony group, too. I don't know either.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful. And but there are some groups that are obviously, they've got their bias when you look at their site, and they're making the point that these quotes are not true, they're fraud, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I'll
make a note to focus a little more on that one, just to make sure that we're confident one way or the other.
Okay, that was number 65, by the way. I think our numbers changed a little bit, but that was number 65 if you want to make a note.
I have 66 here.
Right, because we took this 1 hour, remember?
Oh, right. So in this version, it's 66. So I'll mark it down.
Right. Just make a note, 65, and well, 66 is good. You'll highlight it because you'll know it's close. That's all.
Right.
It's one up or one down or whatever. And I'm gonna give you a copy of this, when we're done today, you know, I'll put it right up online. You can download it.
Okay.
Right now, I got 66. Okay. It is ordered and by this court declared that all persons that are above the age of 16 years, except magistrates and church officers, shall bear arms unless they have, upon just occasion, exemptions granted by the court. And every male person within this jurisdiction above the said age shall have in continue all readiness a good musket or other gun fit for service. And that was the code of 1650 of Connecticut. A person has the right to keep and bear arms for the defense of self, family, home, and state, and for lawful hunting and recreational use. See, that's like an afterthought here, and they put it first over. They don't even bring up protecting yourself from the government. You know? Anyway, Constitution of West Virginia. That the people have a right to bear arms for the defense of themselves and their own states of the United States, or for the purpose of killing game, and no law shall be passed for disarming the people or any of them unless for crimes committed or real danger of public injury from individuals. And that was the proposed amendment to the federal constitution. They tell us, sir, that all are weak and unable to cope with so formidable an adversary. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be the next week or in the next year? Will it be when we are totally disarmed and when a British guard shall be stationed in every house? Shall we gather strength by irresolution and inaction? Shall we acquire the means of effectual resistance by lying supinely on our backs and hugging the delusive phantom of hope until our enemies shall have bound us hand and foot? Sir, we are not weak. If we make a proper use of those means which the God of nature hath placed in our power, the millions of people armed in a holy cause of liberty and in such a country as that which we possess are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Patrick Henry, who part of the speech. And we do each of us for ourselves respectfully promise and engage to keep a good firelock in proper order and to furnish ourselves as soon as possible with and always keep by us 1 pound of gunpowder, 4 pounds of lead, 1 dozen gun flints, and a pair of bullet molds with a cartouche box on powder horn and a bag of balls. George Madison. It sounded like a lot of ammo, huh? Guard with jealousy, attention to public liberty, suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Unfortunately, nothing will preserve it but downright force. Whenever you give up that force, you are inevitably ruined. The great object is that every man be armed. Everyone who is able may have a gun. Patrick Henry. The supposed quietude of a good man allures the ruffian, while on the other hand, arms like laws discourages and keeps the invader and the plunderer in awe and preserves order in the world as well as property. The balance of power is the scale of peace. The same balance would be preserved were all the world destitute of arms, for all would be alike, but since some will not, others dare not lay themselves aside. Horrid mischief would ensue were one half the world deprived of the use of them. For while avarice and ambition have a place in the heart of man, the weak will become a prey to the strong. The history of every age and nation establishes these truths. The facts need but little argument when they prove themselves. And that was Thomas Paine. Oh, attributed to Thomas Paine. The rights of self-defense is the first law of nature in most governments. It has been the study of rulers to confine this right within the narrowest limit possible. Wherever standing armies are kept up, and when the right of the people to keep and bear arms is under any color of pretext whatsoever forbidden, liberty, if not already annihilated, is on the brink of destruction. Henry, what's that, St. George, S.K.?
Yeah, Henry St. George Tucker.
Okay. Laws that forbid the carrying of arms disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Such laws make things worse for the assaulter and better for the assaultants. They serve rather to encourage than to prevent homicides. For an unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than an armed man, Thomas Jefferson. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is as a last resort to protect themselves against tyranny in government, Thomas Jefferson. They that can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safe desire deserve neither liberty nor safety, Benjamin Franklin. Americans need never fear their government because of the advantage of being armed, which the Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation. Gouverneur. That's his first name, by the way, right? He's not a governor. He's Gouverneur, right?
Governor. It looks French.
Yeah, but that's his first name. I was looking up into this to see, because that's his first name, Gouverneur Morris. At the Second Continental Congress. Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to, I think this is, we had this up forward, didn't we? Who are afraid to trust the people with arms? Let me do a quick search. I think this is a redundancy. Yeah, we have this in a longer quote on number 96, and it's by James Madison, and we have it again. Heck is it? 78 by James Madison. Okay. So we should take it out here. We'll take 78 out, okay? Right, are you there? Chris?
Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing, Granny? You just getting on?
No, I've been listening while you were reading.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to continue. These are just quotes, so I know that quote was in there, and I just checked that it is, so I pulled that one out. Okay, next to the quote. The best we can hope for concerning the people at large is that they are be properly armed. Alexander Hamilton. One of the ordinary modes by which tyrants accomplish their purpose without resistance is by disarming the people and making it an offense to keep arms. Constitutional scholar and Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story. Men trained in arms from their infancy and animated by the love of liberty will afford neither a cheap or easy conquest. Declaration of the Continental Congress. Virtually never are murderers the ordinary law-abiding citizen, abiding people against whom gun bans are aimed. Almost without exception, murderers are extreme aberrants with lifelong histories of crime, substance abuse, psychopathology, mental retardation, and or irrational violence against those around them, as well as other hazardous behavior, example, automobile and gun accidents. That's Don B. Cate writing on statistical patterns in gun crime. I want to cut and paste that one. That's one to use in another place, I'm thinking here. Yeah, hang on.
Okay.
82. The right of the citizens to keep and bear arms has justly been considered as the paladin of the liberties of a republic, since it offers a strong moral check against usurpation and arbitrary power of rulers, and will generally, even if these are successful in the first instance, enable the people to resist and triumph over them. And that was John Marshall.
And that's a very strong one right there.
Yeah. Okay, 83. Militias, when properly formed, are in fact the people themselves and include all men capable of bearing arms to preserve liberty. It is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. And that was Senator Richard Henry, 1788. False is the idea of utility?
Yep.
Utility. Okay. False is the idea of utility that sacrifices 1,000 real advantages for one imaginary or trifling inconvenience that would take fire from men because it burns and water because one may drown in it. This is interesting. I hope this is a good one.
I think this is accurate, yeah.
Okay, that has no, but I only have Thomas Jefferson. I don't have the full citation.
Yeah, I think I found the full one.
Okay. That has no remedy for evil except destruction. The laws that forbid the carrying of arms are laws of such a nature. They disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. You know, I'm thinking of taking this and moving it right up to the top.
I'd have to find it. I think that may be one of the ones where Jefferson was actually quoting somebody else.
Well, that's cool.
Well,
you know, our founding fathers, if you read the 17th century philosophers the 17th century philosophers, that's where these guys were reading. That's where they got a lot of their ideas and their education from, because he quotes a lot of stuff right out of those things.
Yeah, I found it here. It's this quote that begins, it ends with, "They disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes."
Mm-hmm.
That's like the first part of the quote, and then a few items up here, that quote is continued. It actually starts with the same line that this one ends with. Where was I going to find it here? Wasn't that far back? If you go back up to, I show it as 75. It might be 73 for you now. It was the one where Jefferson was quoting Caesar Beccaria.
Right.
That's the second part of the same quote.
Okay, so that was number 73, you said?
I showed a 75, but your numbers are changing, so it might be like 73
okay.
for you.
Because what I may do is move this up behind that, so when you fix it, it'll be together.
Right.
Okay, so we're at 84, has to move up to, let's see where I have to go.
And the actual
okay,
quote,
yeah, 74.
Yeah, okay, 74.
Okay, so I'm going to make it right behind this. So we have 74 and 75 will be these two quotes together. And
right.
Then we'll try to fuse them together to make it one.
Sure.
And so 84, I'm moving up.
So that was back at 80.
Okay. So now it's 74 and 75 on my paper, and you'll get this, and you know it's roughly wherever you're marking your paper.
Yep.
So, okay, now I'm going back to 85 now. Okay, I'm picking up at 85. No kingdom can be secured otherwise than by arming the people. The possession of arms is the distinction between a free man and a slave. Boy, you like to put that up front, too.
Yeah.
Okay. This was back in 74 and 75, a British Republic.
And that was a British tract.
Yes. Well, remember, we our founding fathers, a lot of them were British. Most of them were, anyway.
Oh, right, yeah. Yep.
I mean, George Washington was trying to get into the army, the British army.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he was connected with the militia, and that's where he got his skills from. But in any event, okay. 86. Are we the last brought to such a humiliating and debasing degradation that we cannot be trusted with arms for our own defense? Where is the difference between having our arms in our own possession and under our own direction and having them under the management of Congress? If our defense be the real object of having those arms or in those hands, can they be trusted with more propriety or equal safety to us as in our own hands? Patrick Henry. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, Henry's got some great stuff.
Yeah. To disarm the people was the best and most effectual way to enslave them, George Mason. The great object is that every man be armed. Everyone who is able may have a gun. Patrick Henry. Now, didn't we quote that earlier too?
Yep. Yeah. There was a longer quote that ended with that.
Okay, so, we did have both of these pieces in there?
So this part was included in the prior quote, so you could get rid of this one altogether.
Okay, so that one's going altogether, deleted.
Yep.
Such are a well-regulated militia composed of the freeholders, citizens, and husbandmen who take up arms to preserve their property as individuals and their rights as free men. That's serial. 89. That the said Constitution shall never be construed to authorize Congress to infringe the just liberty of the press or the right of conscience. This is a repeat, too.
Prevent
the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms. Samuel Adams. I know that's a redundancy, too, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, that's out. Okay. I'm on 89. Your numbers are off mine. The danger, where there is any, from armed citizens is only to the government, not to society. And as long as they have nothing to revenge in the government, which they cannot have while it is in their own hands, there are many advantages in their being accustomed to the use of arms and no possible disadvantage. Joel Barlow, 1792. Okay, the disarming of citizens has a double effect. It clauses the hand and brutalizes the mind. A habitual disuse of physical force totally destroys the moral force, and men lose at once the power of protecting themselves and of discerning the cause of their oppression. That's Barlow again. Okay, now we're going to look at the militia. Again, we continue with guns, but the militia, it's got a new title. The militia is composed of the body of armed people to maintain a subordinate government.
Okay.
91. That a well-regulated militia composed of the body of the people trained to arms is the proper, natural, and safe defense of a free state. That standing armies in times of peace should be avoided as dangerous to liberty, and that in all cases the military should be under strict subordination to and governed by the civil powers. It's George Madison drafting in 76 for the Declaration of Rights. Militias, when properly formed, are in fact the people themselves and include all men capable of bearing arms. I think this is a repeat. To preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially the young, how to use them. That's a repeat, isn't it?
It is a repeat. I guess there's a bit of a question here where, I mean, it's in two different sections.
Right.
So before it was kind of making one point, where, you know, everyone capable of bearing arms should have them, but then this one is more, you know, now we're in the context of what a militia is.
Right.
So,
yeah. So let's leave that here because it does kind of help to round off.
Yeah.
The meaning
of militia. It makes both points.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next, to the people of the state of New York, besides the advantages of being armed, which the Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, this almost sounds similar too, the existence of subordinate governments to which the people are attached and by which the militia officers are appointed forms a barrier against the enterprises of ambition more insurmountable than any which a simple government of any form can admit of. Notwithstanding the military establishments in the several kingdoms of Europe, which are carried as far as the public resources will bear, the governments are afraid to trust the people with arms, and it is not certain that with this aid alone they would not be able to shake off their yokes. But were the people to possess the additional advantages of local governments chosen by themselves that could collect the natural will and direct the natural force, and the officers appointed out of the militia by these governments and attacked attached both to them and to the militia, it may be affirmed with the greater assurance that the throne of every tyrant in Europe would be speedily overturned in spite of the legions which surround it. Let us not insult the free and gallant citizens of America with the suspicion that they would be less able to defend the rights of which they would be in actual possession than the debased subjects of arbitrary power would be to rescue theirs from the hands of their oppressors. James Madison. Little pieces of this were in other things I read earlier.
Just
in the beginning. Just a little piece
of
it.
Yeah, I'll try to pick that out and see where we have redundancy.
Yeah, I think this one's okay, though, because the other one was a shortcut. This was a much more,
Does this one really... I wish the militia... Yeah, it does get at the militia. Okay, that's in the right place. Yep, okay.
Okay, the power of the sword, say the minority of Pennsylvania, is in the hands of Congress. My friends and countrymen, it is not so, for the power of the sword are in the hands of the yeomanry of American from 16 to 60. The militia of these free commonwealths, entitled and accustomed to their arms, when compared with any possible army, must be tremendous and irresistible. Who are the militia? Are they not ourselves? Is it feared, then, that we shall turn our arms, each man, against his own bosom? Congress has no power to disarm the militia, their swords, and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American. The unlimited power of the sword is not in the hand of either the federal or state governments, but, where I trust in God, it will ever remain in the hands of the people. And that's Trench Cox writing in the Federal Gazette, 1788.
And that's a really good quote to end
with. Yeah, that is. By the way, this is pretty powerful stuff. No one can argue these points after reading this. And we're going to make a lot of other really good points from other vantage points. From my perspective, whether you could prove what our founding fathers believed or thought about guns or you can't is totally irrelevant anyway, because it is totally logical to the fact that, and therefore in common law, the fact that we have a right to defend ourselves and to keep those arms, period.
Yeah.
Especially from the knowledge of knowing that every government that takes guns away from people ends up killing millions or thousands or millions of people.
Right.
Okay, great contemporary defenders of the Second Amendment.
Now, do you want to call that defenders of the Second Amendment, or do you want to call it defenders of the right to keep and bear arms? Because, for example, Gandhi, I'm sure, wasn't defending the Second Amendment.
You're right.
Specifically.
and it is better focusing in on the fact that it turns it to a right.
Right.
The Second Amendment is for the United States. Our point is this is a right. So great contemporary defenders of the people's. Wait, this is all capped. Let me put my caps on. Of the people's.
So it's just you and Chris.
Huh? Yeah, it's just us. Who is that? Carl.
Carl, yeah.
Oh, you're back. Yeah. No, well, Manny's with us, too.
Oh, hi, Manny. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Okay, so great contemporary defenders of the people's unalienable rights to bear arms? We should always make that point, unalienable.
Yep.
Bear arms to protect oneself and his family. All right, I liked it. What number is this?
That was the title. Or a header, I should say. Heading. This is this is are you still on page 21 then, John?
21, yeah.
I think so. The line numbers are getting a little skewed.
Yeah, I'm on number 95 right now. You're probably back. You're higher than that.
Yeah, mine says 99.
Yeah.
So, but it's still on page 21.
If you want, what do you have it? Do you have it in PDF form or do you have it in Word form?
I have the PDF.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say if you had Word, you can hit it a few times, just make your lines and pull your numbers back. But
yeah.
But it doesn't matter. You'll be close enough to be able to figure it's a few lines up or down.
Yep, sure.
Okay, so I named it now Great Contemporary Defenders of the People's Unalienable, Unalienable. You know, I think, I don't know that you can pronounce this unalienable, can you?
Yeah, I can.
I mean, I know you can, and we have been. It's easier. It's a tongue twister for me.
I think you got to separate the syllables.
Unalienable.
It's either unalienable or unalienable.
Yeah.
No, I like... Unalienable.
Yeah, I it flows better, unalienable. Okay, anyway, right to keep and bear arms. 95 for me. Among the many misdeeds of British rule in India, history will look upon the act depriving a whole nation of arms as the blackest. Gandhi. I was surprised on that one.
Yeah.
That tells you something. You know what I mean? That really tells you something. Banning guns because of their misuse is like banning the First Amendment because one might libel or slander. Ron Paul. There are those in America today who have come to depend absolutely on government for their security. And when government fails, they seek to rectify that failure in the form of granting government more power. So a government has failed to control crime and violence with the means given it by the Constitution, they seek to give it more power at the expense of the Constitution, but in so doing, in their willingness to give up their arms in the name of safety, they are really giving up their protection from what has always been the chief source of despotism, government, Ronald Reagan. The bearing of arms is the essential medium through which the individual asserts both his social power and his participation in politics as a reasonable moral being. J.G.A. Peacock is an historian of political thought describing the beliefs of the founders of the United States.
That's a good vote of confidence.
Yes. Certainly, we have an historian that tells the history, the real history. Certainly, one of the chief guarantees of freedom under any government, no matter how popular and respected, is the right of the citizen to keep and bear arms. The right of the citizen to bear arms is just one guarantee against an arbitrary government and one more safeguard against a tyranny which now appears remote in America, but which historically has proven to be always possible. And that was Herbert Humphrey.
In America? Tyranny?
In America. That was Herbert Humphrey. And I'm surprised he didn't realize the dangers, you know, because Kennedy, we're going to be talking about Kennedy in a minute or two, and believe me, Kennedy knew what was happening, you know? Okay, today, here's Kennedy. Today, we need a nation of Minutemen, citizens who are not only prepared to take arms, but citizens who regard the preservation of freedom as the basic purpose of their duty, life, and who are willing to consciously work and sacrifice for that freedom. JFK, and he certainly did. Bastards. those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
Ron Paul.
AFK. The Obama, and the next one is Ron. The Obama administration's effort to pass a draconian gun ban via executive order could cause a second American Revolution. Ron Paul. This one I like. This is the last one. They will come with guns to take our guns. Ron Paul.
Yeah, that's a good punchy one to end with.
Yeah. Okay, the conclusion is inescapable. The conclusion is thus incapable that the conclusion is thus inescapable that the history, concept, and wording of the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, as to the Constitution of the United States, as well as its interpretation by every major commentator and court in the first half century after its ratification, indicates that what is protected is an individual right of a private citizen to own and carry firearms in a peaceful manner. And that was a report to the Subcommittee on the Constitution of the Committee on the Judiciary, United States Senate, 97th Congress, and so on. It was back in 1982. In recent years, it has been suggested that the Second Amendment protects the collective right of states to maintain militias. While it does not protect the right of the people to keep and bear arms, if anyone entertains this notion in the period during which the Constitution and the Bill of Rights were debated and ratified, it remains one of the most closely guarded secrets of the 18th century. For no known writings surviving from that period between 1787 and 1791 states such a thesis. Stephen P. Halbrook, Let Every Man Be Armed, 1984. Americans have the will to resist because you have weapons. If you don't have a gun, freedom of speech has no power. Yoshimi is a Japanese author for the LA Times, 92. Whether the authorities be invaders or merely local tyrants, the effect of such gun control, the effect of such laws is to place the individual at the mercy of the state, unable to resist. Robert Anson Hyland, in 1849, I don't know who that is.
I discovered that he is actually, I never heard of him before either, but he was apparently a rather outspoken science fiction writer.
Mm-hmm.
Who, I guess he had some, fairly visionary apparently, just, you know, writing about people in general and just humanity and government and what they could turn into over time, you know, given certain trends.
Right.
So I've never read any of this stuff, but that seemed to be the kind of writer that he was.
All right, I'm on number 108. According to the National Crime Survey, survey administered by the Bureau of the Census, and the National Institute of Justice, it was found that only 12% of those who use a gun to resist assault are injured, as the 17% of those who use a gun to resist robbery. These percentages are 27% and 25% respectively, if they passively comply with the felon's demands. Three times as many were injured if they used other means of resistance. So that was a research on gun control. Let's see, back in 1986. Okay, if gun laws in fact worked, the sponsors of this type of legislation should have no difficulty drawing upon long list of examples of criminal acts reduced by such legislation. That they cannot do, so after a century and a half of trying, that they must sweep under the rug the Southern attempts at gun, is that right? The Southern attempts at gun control in the 1870s to 1910 period, the Northeastern attempts in the 1920 to 1939 period, the attempts at both federal and state levels in 1965 to 76, establishes the repeated, complete, and inevitable failure of gun laws to control serious crimes. That was Senator Orrin Hatch, 1982.
That's a pretty strong too.
Yeah, that is pretty strong. He's gone quite some time. He's pretty old now, Hatch, isn't he? He's up there in years. All right, anyway. Those who are trying to read the Second Amendment out of the Constitution by claiming it's not an individual right are courting disaster by encouraging others to use the same means to eliminate portions of the Constitution they don't like. Alan Dershowitz. He used to be a pretty hardcore liberal, didn't he? Wasn't he? He kind of made a 180-degree turn, I believe, that guy.
Huh. Yeah, I don't remember that name.
Yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah, I heard a lot about him back in the 60s and the 70s.
He used to argue with Curtis Sliwa, and he always came across as the advocate for, have a fair trial, letting the evidence. I guess you would consider him a liberal where...
Well, he was a hardcore liberal some years ago, and he flipped at one point, and I don't remember the circumstances when he flipped, but I remember hearing him talk about it. It was a long time ago.
Gun control anyway, right?
Well, on a lot of things, but gun control in particular, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think he's kept a lot of his tendencies to be where he is. Like, Roe versus Wade, I'm sure he's all for that.
I don't remember or know. I don't know. Okay, 111. The right of self-defense is the first law of nature. This sounds repetitive in most governments.
Yeah.
That was Henry St. George Tucker, I remember.
Yeah, I guess you have to decide if you want it here or in that prior section.
What year was this? If this is contemporary, we want it here.
Oh, well, is this the contemporary section still, or is it?
Yeah, I'm going back to make sure that it is. Oh, no, the conclusions. This is conclusions.
Yeah. So, so I guess it doesn't matter when it was written in, right?
Yeah, because this is conclusionary, yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that could be up to you, maybe. I don't know. It depends on if you want it in the conclusion or if you want it back in the supporting.
Yeah, let's take it out of here. We'll take it out. We'll leave it where it's at.
Yep.
Okay, so I'll take this one out. It's gone. Boys who own legal firearms have much lower rates of delinquency and drug use and are even slightly less delinquent than non-owners of guns. U.S. Department of Justice, National Institute of Justice, that was back in 1995.
This is the government itself.
Yes, saying the U.S. Department of Justice.
They're not even listening to themselves.
No, they're not. Yeah, it doesn't work for the New World Order who wants to come out and kill all of us.
Ugh.
Historical examination of the right to bear arms from English antecedents to the drafting of the Second Amendment bears proof that the right to bear arms has consistently been and should still be construed as an individual right, U.S. District Judge, 1999. No matter how, by the way, there's more information. I'm not reading all the information. You've got his name, Sam Cummings, so on. But anyway, no matter how one approaches the figures, one is forced to the rather startling conclusion that the use of firearms in crime was very much less when there were no controls of any sort and when anyone, convicted criminal or lunatic, could buy any type of firearm without restriction. Half a century of strict controls on pistols has ended perversely with a far greater use of this weapon in crime than ever before. That's Colin Greenwood in the Study of Firearm Controls, 1972. Okay, why governments disarmed people?
Wait, hold on. So that whole section is called the.
That was conclusionary.
The conclusions are inescapable. Is that a conclusion to this paper, or is there
well,
still
no,
much more to come?
No, but that's a good point. Whether we want to move that whole section later on, let's think about that. Let's continue reading on.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, but you see, it's conclusionary, I think, on the fact that the studies prove it. It's conclusion on the fact that our founding fathers obviously did nothing but talk about the fact that we should have arms. All of the conversations back in those days was pro-gun. That's what we need to protect ourselves. Okay, so it's conclusionary to that. Now, it may be in the appropriate place, because now we're going to look on why governments disarm people. And then after that, I think we then move into statistics of the 20th century. So,
okay.
If I recall, we'll see shortly because we're coming close to an end. We're getting a lot of stuff done today.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's just reading through quotes. So
yeah, that's
a lot,
yeah.
A lot of pages like that.
Well, I knew we were going to go through a good 10 pages easy with quotes. So.
Yeah.
Okay, gun control is the first step to disarmament. That sentence is good, right?
Pretty short and to the point.
Very to the point. So, why governments disarm people. Both oligarchy and tyrant mistrust the people and therefore deprive them of arms. Aristotle. To disarm the people is the most effectual way to enslave them. George Mason.
That might be a requote, but I'm not sure. I think we.
But even if it is, we'll keep it here anyway.
Yeah,
and with that.
Yep.
This is good.
Yep.
Before a standing army can rule the people, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops. Noah Webster, January 1787. Every communist must grasp the truth. Political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. Mao Zedong. 120. For the first time in history does a nation have complete gun registration. Our streets will be safer, our police more efficient. The world will follow our lead in the future. Adolf Hitler. What's his first? Adolf, right? Or Adolf?
It's Adolf.
I've heard both. Adolf?
Yeah, well, there's a guy at work, believe it or not, a black German guy, and it's Adolf Markland.
I'm surprised he kept that name.
He's a black guy.
Yeah, I suppose it's not terribly popular.
Yeah.
But it's just a name like any other name.
But I don't haven't met anyone other than this guy with that name. I don't know. Does anyone else know anyone?
Yeah, I've never met anyone with the name Adolf. Okay. The most foolish mistake we could possibly make would be to prevent the conquered Eastern people to have arms. History teaches that all conquerors who have allowed their subject races to carry arms have prepared their own downfall by doing so. Again, Hitler. The following is quoted from the September 11th, 1999 issue of the Economic Magazine, page 7, titled A League of Evil. And I know you added up these numbers, and I did too, and they didn't add to the same number, but we must not have the full list. I don't know. And by the way...
These might just be some of the, like, you know, the highlights, so to speak.
Right.
There may be many more to add up to that 170 million, I think, mm-hmm. that just aren't enumerated here.
Correct. Okay, 1915 and 1917, Ottoman Turkey banned gun possession, then targeted Armenians, mostly Christians, and killed 1.5 million, I guess.
Yeah.
What? That's. Wait a second.
One
to 1.5 million people.
Right.
Okay. 1929 to 1945, Soviet Union banned gun possession, then targeted political opponents, farming communities, and killed 20 million people. 1933 to 1945, Nazi Germany and occupied Europe banned gun possession, then targeted political opponents, Jews, Gypsies, critics, and killed 20 million people. 1927 and 1949, China nationalists banned gun possession, then targeted political opponents, army conscripts, others, and killed 10 million people.
Where are you getting this information from?
Huh?
Where are you
this is coming from September 11th, 1999 issue of The Economist magazine, page 7, titled A League of Evil. And as a matter of fact, what's the guy's name, the rest of the story?
Oh, I
now
forget.
You'll know the rest. Harvey.
Harvey. Yes, what's his name?
Paul Harvey. Now
Paul
we'll...
Harvey. Okay, Paul Harvey did a thing on this particular issue, by the way.
Huh.
You know, it's interesting. I can't stand that rag, but it's an elitist rag. The elitist bastards read that thing.
Yeah.
And you know what? All the articles are anonymous.
No kid.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think the editor section might have, there might be like one or two things, but it's all anonymous-based articles. You don't know. I suppose if you've been in the know, reading this thing for a while, maybe you'll have a clue, but yeah.
Wow.
1949, 1952, 1957, and 1960, 1966 to 1976, Red China, which had the death penalty for gun possession, targeted political opponents and killed 20 to 35 million people. 1960 to 1981, Guatemala, banned gun possessions, then targeted Mayans, other Indians, political enemies, and killed 100,000 to 200,000 people. 1971 to 1979, Uganda, registered gun owners, then targeted Christians, political enemies, and killed 300,000 people. 1975 to 1979, Cambodia, registered gun owners, then targeted educated persons, political enemies, and killed 2 million people. 1994, Rwanda, registered gun owners, then targeted Tutsi people and killed 800,000 people. Death by gun control delivers the essential and gut-wrenching truth that the anti-self-defense gun control advocates never try to refute. They simply cannot refute the facts or the formula. Here's the formula: hatred plus government plus disarmed civilians equals genocide.
Okay, what so makes, where did that formula come from?
Well, the guy who put this article to you.
Oh, he did,
on that
okay.
Article.
Because where's the hatred come from? Who defines what hatred
well,
is?
Well, let's put it this way. When you think about this, we know this is true. We've got a government that hates liberty-minded people. Okay? So these people running our government, not the government in itself, but the people behind the government in control, they hate our politics. They hate us. And they're trying to disarm us, and they're going to kill us.
You know,
there's
I
no doubt
wanna,
in my mind.
I'm sorry, I don't want to waste a lot of your time, but you're right, and this is an important point. In fact,
right.
In today's
so
American,
I think the point is, I think this is a maxim.
Check this out. In today's American Free Press, or what came last week in American's Free Press,
mm-hmm.
There's a guy, at West Point teaching kids that people like us are the enemy.
You know, I heard something floating around like that.
This is right by my house, man. We got to kick some ass. West Point cadets taught, patriots are a dire threat.
Well, this is why we have to educate people. This is why, look, if you want to be ignorant and free, you're looking for something that never was and never will be. And until we get the people to understand they need to get power, okay, they're looking for power and they're looking in all the wrong places. If only we can get their attention, because we've got the place. We just need the people to come in and fill the void and take the political and the judicial power.
We
can just take
it.
It's ours.
We got to picket West Point.
We got to do something. Okay, what makes the people's argument so powerful are two factors. First, it makes common sense. Unarmed, defenseless people have no hope against armed aggressors. Second, it states the historical truth. Evil governments did wipe out 170 million innocent non-military people in the 20th century alone. Now, this I found interesting because this is John Bolton, former United States Undersecretary for Arms Control and International Security, urged the United Nations in 2001 to recognize how an oppressed non-state group defending itself from genocidal government will need readily access to firearms. Mr. Bolton may have been the first U.S. official in modern history to argue before the U.N. that private citizens might need to be armed against their own killer governments. And we have the citation here, which I'm not going to read. It's long. The era when Americans could say, yeah.
Hold on 1 second. Just step back to this list of statistics from The Economist. Is that entire thing a copy and paste, basically?
Well, you see up to the K?
Yeah.
That's all that part, cut and paste. The next one with John Bolton, that's some other place. That's cut and paste, too.
Okay. So the A through K, that's all copy-paste from the article.
All out of that article. Now, I may have shortened it up some, because there's other information in between, and I just pulled the highlights of it. But, yes, it is cut and paste. So we do have because I did that. Well, if I did do that here, I'm pretty sure I did. But no, maybe not. I didn't. Maybe I didn't. Because I probably would have put my dot, dot, dots if I did.
Okay.
But in any event,
okay,
you might want to look into that. So if you see something that needs to be corrected, you know, as far as punctuation and so on, you know, I guess you could do it, especially if I did kind of consolidate it a bit.
Yeah, I'll try to find that.
Yeah, this Bolton thing was a cut and paste, correct?
Yep.
Okay, the error when Americans could say, this is a cut and paste too, the error when Americans could say it can't happen here are gone. After the September 11, 2001 terror attacks that killed 3,000 people, Americans no longer ignore foreign nations in the history of the world. American has been plunged deep into a perilous world, and our people are learning about war and invasion and attacks and defense. The lesson of the 20th century genocides cannot be dismissed anymore. The logic of personal self-defense is hitting home. The bad guys, of all descriptions, will always be armed. The experts all agree, and this I kind of just mismatched into here. The experts all agree, Adolf Hitler, Fidel Castro, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, Mohammed Gaddafi, what's his first name? Muammar Gaddafi. Anybody know how to pronounce that?
I think you're right. Muammar? I don't have it in front of me. But.
Yeah, something. Muammar or something. Gaddafi. But
yeah.
Gaddafi, I know him. Idi Amin, Pol Pot, and Kim Jong-un, that gun control works. Now, I kind of mismatched that kind of a statement that I picked up off of a flyer with another statement, and I'm not sure where that other statement came from. Nevertheless, you know, it's not my words, those words.
If it is quoted, then we should make sure the quote's accurate. If you just want to say the same kind of thing but use your own words, then, you know, that's fine too.
All right, I'll see if I can find where I got that from, or if you want, you can Google some of the key words here, and you'll probably pick it right up.
Okay.
And, you know, but the second part does not belong to the first part. The bad guys of all description will always be on. No, that belongs there. No, the experts all agree. From that point forward, that came from a flyer that I picked up with their pictures. And that's just a statement. Matter of fact, I was going to I pulled the flyer, and I actually even thought of putting the pictures and everything in there, but I said, nah, just put that statement in there. So maybe we should break that away. The experts all agree. This may be a conclusion. No, it's not. But maybe we should break that away and put it on the conclusion. Let me give it its own line anyway.
Yeah, it's a strong statement. It's a little snarky, but it's but I mean, I agree with it.
Yeah, well, no doubt. These people do agree gun control works.
There's
no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But so make a note, that's number 125. I'm probably going to come back and pull this to the bottom as a conclusionary point to this section. Okay.
Okay.
Because I think that's pretty, you know, that's a good right hook. Okay. Governments murder four times as many civilians as were killed in all the international and domestic wars combined. September 11, 1999 issue. Again, going back to that one we just did. The Economic Magazine, page 7, titled The League of Evil. How could government kill so many people? The governments had the power, and the people, the victims, were unable to resist because the victims were unarmed.
Is that whole thing a quote from The Economist?
Well, I think this came out, and I kind of just put it in here, and we'll have to find out, but I think it did come, so we probably should pull that citation down to the bottom. If it did, maybe put a dot, dot, dot.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll have to check into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I can rest on you taking care of these things, I'd really appreciate it, because I got a lot more writing to do.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll try to concentrate on these things. Yeah.
All right, great. Okay, 127. This is the last one for this section. History clearly teaches that every government that moves towards gun control ends up killing the people who disagree with it. Disarmed people are neither free nor safe. Rather, they become the criminal's prey and the tyrant's playthings. when people are defenseless and the government goes rogue, thousands and millions of innocent people die. Then we'll move. The experts, New Line, experts all agree, and then name all those people. I think that's a good ending. So let me pull that down.
Yeah, it might be like a second to last line to use. I mean, this last paragraph you have here.
You think that should be the last?
I mean, that's pretty strong, yeah.
Okay, so I'll put it second to last.
So this whole section was why governments disarm people. Yeah, so that's
yes.
A real good way to end.
Yes. Okay. Next, the Second Amendment preserves liberty. Okay. Government now, I think you mentioned that this one you think is fraud too. And I have heard this for years and years on end. Okay.
Yeah.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquent. It is a force like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You know, that kind of sounds like Washington. And that
it
other
does
one
sound
that,
like them, yeah.
And the other one that was called a fraud also that we can't seem to find, or they claim we can't find it, that sounds like Washington too. And it does at least sound like it comes from his era anyway. And if it isn't Washington that said it, I think these phrases were said by someone, maybe just someone that's not as well known, but someone of the times that was with these people.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I actually found a really interesting, I don't know what you'd call it, just an analysis of that longer Washington quote that we were looking at, the one that the other one you're talking about that was further
right.
up here. They actually went through an analysis of you know, why certain parts of this actually don't sound like Washington and how some of the references in it are almost like in the wrong time period. I think it mentions the prairie wagon.
Right.
Like where does the prairie wagon come in colonial, the British colonies. So it just,
well, that is an interesting point.
Yeah. So I'm not sure, but it was the analysis was, you know, went into some points like that, you know, several of them, not just, you know, picking out one or two. It actually went through a number of them and said, you know, these just don't seem to fit, you know. And this is after saying we don't find this in any of his writings or speeches or anything. So it's
well, we should search it out to see
yeah.
if it's not his. Maybe it's from someone else in a good time period, and if not a known person, maybe a person that's rubbing shoulders with known people.
Right, right. So yeah, I'll try to track that down.
And nevertheless, this statement, whether it's Washington or not, government is not reason. It is not eloquent. It is force like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. That's a truth right there. Whoever said that, if Washington didn't say it, that's a truth.
Yep.
That's a maxim, I would call it. Okay, who can argue with that point, that reasoning? Okay, to preserve liberty is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. Richard Henry Lee.
That might be the third time we've quoted that one.
Is it? Okay, the
yeah.
Second Amendment preserves liberty. To preserve liberty, well, you might be right. You know, we may want to pull it out from above. So let me run a search real quick on to preserve liberty.
It does get a little tough when one source.
Well,
one,
we may have
quote.
To leave it here because earlier it's talking about militias, when properly formed, are in fact the people themselves and include all men capable of bearing arms.
But
then,
you can even split it out then.
Then there's a dot, dot, dot. To preserve liberty is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. So the combination of the militia and the preserving of a liberty belongs in this area, and it does belong down there. So I think we should leave them just that being repeated. That's all.
Okay. I mean, you could also split it out too. You could, you know, leave the militia part up top and keep the preserve liberty thing down here. Whichever. It does belong in both places.
Yeah, I think
so,
we'll leave it.
These
guys aren't even going to read it anyway. So. Okay. The best way the best way we can help concerning the people at large is that they be properly armed. Now, that's a repeat, and I don't see it necessarily here. That's Alexander Hamilton. And that, well, that's in the Federalist Papers. We even have a page number. Did you think that that one was a fraud also?
It was not. It was a bit of a misquote, and when you read the rest of the passage that this comes from, I think he was actually making a different point. I don't know if I can pull it up real quick here, but
all right. Well, you look into it, and we could discuss it later because we're very close to finishing, and I do want to get this done tonight, so we don't have to come back for a third night. It's a long one.
I'm
taking this out because we did say this before. And when you go through checking these quotes, you know, we can talk about them then. Okay. Clearly our founder, as a matter of fact, maybe we will have one more meeting, which should be quite short. Well, no, there's no need to do that. We'll just make the corrections. We don't need to bring it online to do
that. Yeah, that's fine.
But clearly our founders understood the experience, the need, the right to be armed. Nature and logic dictates that self-defense is right. These are my words. For the state, that's the first one. Does that look okay, for any corrections necessary?
This is back to you now, right?
These are my words from this point. Yeah.
Okay. So clearly our founders understood and experienced.
Right.
Is that more correct?
Clearly our founders understood and experienced the need and right to be armed.
Right. I think just take the comma out.
Okay.
Yep. Clearly, our founders understood and experienced. And again, is there a D at the end of that?
There should be, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Clearly, our founders understood and experienced the need and right to be armed. And then probably put a period there.
Period. Okay.
Yep. Nature and logic dictates that self-defense is a right.
Okay.
That's a good short, punchy.
Yep. Yeah, it's conclusionary, and it's obvious.
Yep.
Okay, for the state to audaciously infringe upon the unalienable right and duty of man is a direct assault upon liberty's light. History necessitates their allegiance questioned and motives suspect. For we find it repugnant and an act of tyranny for our government servants to resist and defy the decree of a sovereign people. Now, hopefully, well, how's that look for punctuation? This is mine also.
Yeah, let's go back through that. For the state to audaciously infringe upon this unalienable right and duty of man is a direct assault upon liberty's light. I think probably put a period there.
Okay, let me put a period, and then we'll put capital H.
History necessitates their allegiance questioned.
And motives suspect.
Yeah,
maybe a period there.
You probably don't need. No, that's okay. You probably don't need the first comma though. If you just say history necessitates their allegiance questioned, no comma, and motives suspect, keep the comma there.
Okay.
For we find it repugnant and an act of tyranny for our government servants to resist and defy the decree of a sovereign people. That's a good statement.
Okay. All right. Next. Now we have another heading, purpose of the Second Amendment. The strongest reason, and these are some redundancies, we might want to remove the earlier one. We know that we got this Jefferson one. Let me get the other one. I'm going to move the other one out. Control copy. Go find.
Yeah, this that quote by Jefferson, believe it or not, actually might be a fabrication as well. I hate to say it. There's a foundation that I forget which one it is. There's a couple of them out there that has had access to, you know, all the collections of his writings and letters and all this kind of stuff. So basically,
right.
You know, all the known hard copies, you know, the originals, they couldn't find this anywhere. So
yeah, well, again, you know, Jefferson was so involved with so many things and spoke in so many, you know, but there is a good collection of his works. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'll double check that.
It's kind of difficult in some of his stuff because I was trying to read some of the original writings, and it's very difficult to read.
Oh, it,
you know,
it is.
I really think
yeah.
you need to be to get up there, you know, put these things under magnifying glass with good lights to really try to go through them.
Yeah,
did you have that? You had that problem, didn't you?
Yeah, it actually it is amazing to me. What original documents are available to see online that, you know, just thousands of pages have been scanned and you can view them online. It's really
right.
quite,
it is
quite incredible. So, I mean,
by the way, I have an actual citation for this one. Thomas Jefferson Papers, 334, C.J. Boyd, edition 1950.
Yeah, that's I remember that because someone had pointed out that particular book or that author doesn't actually exist. So I will double check that just to make sure. Because it is, I mean, it's a great quote. So I'll double check it
yeah.
to make sure what one way or the other.
Well, I took it out of the upper one and I'm leaving it in the lower one, and I'm going to put that quote for right now
yep.
there with it, and we'll have to fix it. Let me see. Okay, I got it. All right. Okay. In the 20th century, and this is a repeat also, purpose of the Second Amendment. In the 20th century, 170 million citizens were executed by their own government, presumably for political reasons. Maybe we should just end that there. Because we don't need to give a more further quote on this. We're just given the purpose for the Second Amendment.
Right.
And basically is because history shows it, you know.
Yep.
In the 20th century, 170 million citizens were executed by their own governments, presumably for political reasons, period. And then we'll leave the citation and we'll leave it being redundant. It belongs in both places.
Yep.
And it is helpful for being the conclusionary for this. In 1980, U.S. Representative John Dingell said, if I were to select a jackbooted group of fascists who are perhaps as large a danger to American society as I could pick today, I would pick the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. I would, too. Well, I don't know. Blackwater's up there now, you know? But although the BATF, that's IRS. Anyway, so yeah, I guess that is them. Okay. On January 17th, 1961, President Dwight Eisenhower, as he yielded the office of president to President JFK, he addressed the people on TV saying, in the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. Okay, well, the first part of that, obviously, I led into. Is that good for punctuational purposes or any corrections necessary?
Probably just after Eisenhower put a comma.
Okay.
As he yielded the office of president to President John F. Kennedy, comma.
Okay.
He addressed the people on TV, comma, saying.
Okay. Colon.
Let's see. And that probably should be a comma too instead of a colon.
Comma. Okay.
Yep.
All right, 135, That's my number anyway. President John F. Kennedy, in an address to the National News Press Association on April 27, 1961, 3 weeks after the Bay of Pigs, warned us of problems within the councils of government, saying, I don't know if everyone here is aware of what happened with the Bay of Pigs. Kennedy took the fault for that, but he had no clue that was going on. That was a CIA operation without his approval. Did you guys know that?
Well, that was only, I'm just looking at the dates here, that was only like 3 months after he was sworn in.
Yes, yes. This was very quick after he came into power. And 3 weeks before this particular press conference, the Bay of Pigs had taken place, and he took the hit for it. And that's this has a lot to do with what he's talking about here. And when he found out about that, he went to shut down all of the the CIA training camps here in the United States. And we only found out about this, I think it was the late 90s, we found out about this through the Freedom of Information Act, when a whole bunch of papers were able to be accessed, and I guess they had no clue what was inside there. And a lot of this stuff was, what was that guy, they called him a cross-dresser, he was the FBI, Hoover. Now, Hoover... Hoover, he made statements concerning what happened to JFK, and what he did, his life was threatened also, but it was hard for them to take him out because he had so much stuff on people. And what he did was that he was notorious for writing memos, and memos to himself. And these are memos to himself and record. In government records, and they, without realizing, they were released, all those records, and that's how we found out the truth about what took place with the Bay of Pigs and what was going on with Hoover and the CIA, and Hoover was searching out to shut down the CIA at the president under the president's order, after the Bay of Pigs. So, but anyway, wow. With that history in mind. His JFK. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of permanent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by intimidating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuing the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is a very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it is in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here today or tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. Today, no war has been declared, and however fierce the struggle may be, it may never be declared in the traditional fashion. Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. The survival of our friends is in danger, and yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. What a powerful speech. And that's only part of the speech. That's pretty powerful, huh?
Oh.
Okay, another speech. This is his last speech he made. I do know this is questioned, but I'm leaving it in here. And the reason why it's questioned is because it wasn't recorded. But there are witnesses, there are found witnesses that said that he said this. And we're going to go and looking what he just said here, knowing what took place, the probable reason why he was killed was because of his resistance with the Bay of Pigs, and he went up against the CIA and the turning of the money and the writing of certain executive orders overturning things. You know, obviously is what killed him. But anyway, in a speech made at Columbia University on November 12, 1963, 10 days before his assassination, President John Fitzgerald Kennedy said, "The high office of the president has been used to foment a plot to destroy the American freedom, and before I leave office, I must inform the citizens of this plight." Maybe we could try to research that a little bit, maybe get the names of some people claiming to be witness to this statement.
Right.
You know? Okay. Today in America, we have a federal government. This is kind of drawing it to a close, I believe. These are my words. So let's take the first paragraph. Today in America, we have a federal government with strong influences and economic controls over the states. We have presidents that lie to the people, defy Congress, bypass them with executive orders, go to war without congressional approval, maintain secret prisons and private armies like Blackwater, assassinates foreign leaders, assassinates Americans, spies on the people, maintains American terrorists and no-fly lists, call patriots who belong to liberty groups terrorists, call returning veterans potential terrorists as they prepare to send drones over America. Okay, so corrections, comments on that paragraph.
Let's see. Today in America, we have a federal government with strong influences and economic control over the states. That should probably be a period there instead of the semicolon.
Okay.
And then the rest of this now, we have presidents that do this, do that, do this, do this, do this, do this, do that. Are all these things truly things that come from the president, or is this kind of government in general?
Oh no, this is directly the president only. We deal with Congress next. I used to have this combined where it ran into Congress, but I broke it away.
I see. Yep. Okay. So we have presidents that lie to the people, defy Congress. Congress should be probably capitalized, right?
No, I don't want to. Do I have to? Well, good question. Yeah, you're probably right on Congress, because Congress in that single word represents the institution. So, yeah.
Right. Yep. Bypass them with executive orders, go to war without congressional approval, maintain secret prisons. Take out the comma after prisons. They maintain secret prisons and private armies like Blackwater. Is Blackwater a... is that also to be capitalized?
Yeah, because that is a that is their name, Blackwater, as a corporation. And
right, okay.
We'll get rid of the hyphen in between Blackwater.
Sure, okay, yep. Assassinate foreign leaders, assassinate Americans, spy on the people, maintain American terrorists lists. Does it have to be plural terrorists? American terrorists?
No, we can get rid of the S. You're right.
Yeah, okay.
American terrorist lists.
Lists, yep. Take out the comma there. So terrorist lists and no-fly lists.
Okay.
There should probably be a no-fly. Put a dash.
It should be what?
Put a dash in between no and fly.
Okay, no-fly, gotcha.
It's a connected word.
Yep.
No-fly lists. Call patriots who belong to liberty groups terrorists. So make that plural, terrorists.
Okay, put an S on after the T, gotcha.
Right. Call returning veterans potential terrorists.
Well, here's the problem with this last one, they. In this case, you know, speaking of presidents, and this is the first president that's getting ready to send drones out.
Yep.
So,
this
standing president or sitting president prepares to send drones.
You know, that West Point cadet actually has a 158-page pamphlet and considers Tea Partiers, constitutionalists, a lot of libertarians.
What's the source on this?
it's a 158-page doc from this teacher at West Point.
And pretty much he covers a lot of these details I just put to play here.
Well,
there's our source then we can use also. I mean,
I
there's lots
perfect.
Of sources on this stuff.
Right in West Point.
Yeah, do you have a hard copy of that?
Well, I just found out about the articles just came today. A new 148-page report released on January 15th is urging enlisted men and women to be on alert for terrorists in the form of those who consider themselves patriots. This study, released by the U.S. Military Academy's Combatant Terrorism
Center. Wow, a study released by the Military Academy. Wow.
Yeah, is entitled, quote, you should Google it, Challengers from the Sidelines, : Understanding Americans' Violent Far Right.
Could you, and how many pages is this?
148-page report.
Okay, can you pull certain quotes out for us, like this quote and any other that you might be able to find, and, you know, and then we'll keep the citation of that study?
As soon as I finish my affidavit, I'm right on top of it, no problem.
Okay, because that's good. That's a good source to bring in.
I'm listening to you. I'm going to go, though. I have to get off the bed and get to work early.
Yeah, we're close to ending anyway. We're very close.
Well, hey, Chris, welcome aboard. I think you're doing an excellent job. We really appreciate what you're
doing. Yeah, we do. I appreciate it, too.
Yeah, it's good to be a little more involved now. I was kind of just kind of listening before, but it's good to be more involved.
And you and John get along. Great. That's awesome.
Well, we got to bring Helena back.
I know, bring a little more spark into this. Yeah. But no, it was
I'm
good
surprised she
too.
Didn't come back. I expected her to come back, but she really feels strong about this recording thing, huh?
Huh?
She really feels strong about this recording thing. She didn't come back.
She doesn't want you to record it?
She didn't want to be recorded. She made a big thing when she found out when I shut the recording. You recording this? I said, yeah, of course we're recording it. But, you know, because she's really hardcore on this stuff. But I guess she's frightened, you know?
Well,
yeah,
you can respect that. I mean,
sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
We're just too stupid to be frightened. That's what.
actually,
I ignore the frightened. I just ignore it. That's why I tell Gerard all the time, stop scaring me. Shut up. Go away. Stop.
Yeah, you're serious. No, but, I mean, that's not a... You know, terrible request from her part to not record this. I don't think.
Well, she didn't tell me to, but this is an educational thing. So, but anyway, let's go on.
It's all in the material. That's all.
I do appreciate the fact that she's nervous of it. I do.
Okay. All right.
You know,
okay.
And you know that's why I take certain precautions myself, which I don't want to detail at the moment.
Okay. Very good. Good night. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Good night. Okay. We're okay with that last group, with that last thing, Drones Over America. We're going to the next one now, right?
Yeah, I guess they that last part is like it's specifically about, you know, one president in particular. So it's Call Patriots of London.
Oh, yeah. I changed that. Call Patriots who belong to Liberty Groups terrorists. Call returning veterans potential terrorists. I'll read it the way I got it for right now. As this sitting president prepares to send drones over America.
Yeah, let's see. That's almost it. Belong to the other groups, terrorists and call.
Well, maybe end this sitting president, or just this sitting president. The returning veterans, potential terrorists, and this sitting president prepares to send drones over America.
Right. Yeah. That's more the direction you want to go. Call Patriots of Alon, Liberty Groups, terrorists. Call returning veterans, potential terrorists, and this
sitting president prepares to send drones over America.
Yes. Yes.
Now, semicolon or a period?
A period.
Period.
At the end there, yeah.
Okay. 138. We have a Congress that passes bill after bill that they do not author or read all without any concern for the Constitution. We have cameras. This we may want to do another you know, line for this one. We have cameras everywhere, a compliant press, an unnecessary energy crisis, genetically modified foods, fluoride in our water, mercury in our inoculations, hormones, dyes, and antibiotics in our food supply, chemtrails in our skies, a Federal Reserve contrived monetary crisis, and a constitutional crisis. Now, I probably at the, we have cameras everywhere, that should probably drop down to a number on its own. Because we did Congress very shortly.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Yeah, that's a separate, that should be separate. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so we have Congress to pass the bills and so on. Is that good? Or
oh, you want to capitalize Congress there too?
Huh?
We
should.
Capitalize Congress.
Yeah.
We have a Congress.
I like the disrespect I hold, though, but okay.
Yeah. The author or read all without any concern for the Constitution. And then the new item. We have cameras everywhere, a compliant press, a necessary energy crisis, genetically modified foods, fluoride in our water, mercury in our inoculations. And then the hormones, dyes, and antibiotics in our food supply, there should be commas in there as well. I think the way this normally works when you have a list of items and then you have like a list within a list.
Then you have the semicolon, right?
Yeah. So we have cameras everywhere, semicolon, a compliant press, semicolon, and then so on. All the commas become semicolons until you get to hormones, comma, dyes, comma, and antibiotics in our food supply.
Gotcha.
Semicolon. Chemtrails in our skies. Semicolon.
Okay, when do we start? Now we start the fluoride in our water. Okay, that's semicolon.
Yep.
Then mercury in our inoculations. Coma. I'm in a coma. Colon.
More of a semi-coma.
Hormones, comma, dyes, comma, and
yep.
Antibiotics in our food supply.
And then
semicolon.
Yep.
Chemicals in our skies. Semicolon.
Yep.
Federal Reserve contrived monetary crisis. Semicolon.
Yep.
And a constitutional crisis. Period.
Right.
Okay. All right. Next. I think we make a strong case here in this paper. I think this is a pretty powerful paper. But we have many people in jail than. Let me start a little bit. We have more people in jail than any other country per population, and we are moving towards corporatism at an alarming rate. In short, an out-of-control government that ignores the people, and when you add gun control to the list, along with the mantra necessity, it is an undeniable recipe for tyranny. Period. Okay, what corrections do we need here?
That you might want to split that out into two items. We have more people in jail than any other country per population, and we are moving towards corporatism at an alarming rate, period, and then move down to a new number.
New number, okay.
It's kind of like a summary point, right?
Gotcha.
Yep. And then you could say, in short, comma, we have an out-of-control government that ignores the people.
Okay.
And when you add gun control to the list, along with the mantra necessity, is an undeniable recipe for tyranny. Right, okay. So,
get rid of the comma after necessity?
No, I think that's okay. So in short, we have an out-of-control government that ignores the people. And when you add gun control to the list, along with the mantra necessity, turn its into it is.
Turn it into it is, okay.
Yeah, it's just a little more proper.
Yep.
It is an undeniable recipe for tyranny. And that's fine.
Okay, and then the quote to back that up. Necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. William Pitt, 1783. Very interesting. You know, I was watching some speech for as long as I could bear, maybe 60 seconds or so, up before our legislators by the mothers, the Million Moms for Gun Control.
Mm-hmm.
And this came to my mind, the creed of slaves. They have no idea what they are supporting, you know?
Yeah.
Nor what the real problem is, you know, to say that. And by the way, just for a quick, we're almost done here. You know, if you want to work with us on because I do a lot of writing, and I need this kind of thing in all the writing. And if they give us an opportunity, if you want to work with us on this, we do it from time to time on a Monday on a regular program so people can get educated, particularly in on the how to write a complaint. Now, this is the longest complaint I've written yet. I never write a complaint this long or an action at law because it's not wise. It's way too much stuff. But in this case, this was a necessary thing we did here. It had to be long.
Yeah.
You know. So, but anyway, if you want to do that, I'm writing one now. I'm going to get it done over the weekend. Maybe tomorrow I'll work on it and get it done by the weekend's over. And maybe one evening, one Monday evening we'll go through. I was going to do, this Monday, I was going to do the case law, but if I have this written, maybe we want to do that if you want to go through that with me. It might take us an hour, I think. I don't think it's going to be all that long.
Well, let's keep it to this for now.
Yeah.
There's some other things that I am needing to take care of.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of time
you have. So.
Yeah, we'll get through this. I'm willing to devote myself to this.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to the next. This is the last statement in that particular area. Needless to say, the state has no authority to license, restrict, or disarm the people, nor should it be moving in that direction. If our founding fathers taught us anything, they taught us only tyrants want gun control.
And that's a good summary statement. Yep.
Yeah.
If you say needless to say, put a comma there.
Okay.
The state has no authority to license, restrict, or disarm the people, nor should it be moving in that direction. Put a period there.
Okay.
And then here's the final statement. If our founding fathers taught us anything, comma.
Okay.
They taught us, instead of a comma there, probably put that. If our founding fathers taught us anything, they taught us that only tyrants want gun control.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. 144, the facts. Now, this is the end of it. I don't know. It's getting late. We can wait to finish off on the wherefore clause. As a matter of fact, I don't want to do this I don't mind doing it in open public, but I don't want 20 people involved in it. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
I don't know whether we should do it on a Monday. We should not do it on a Monday because Monday we do get people in, you know?
Yeah,
about that because the wherefore clause is going to be very difficult. We have to be very precise. We can't afford to miss one legal point. And precisely exactly what we're looking for. If we leave one little dot or tittle out of that one, we could actually not have the ability to get what we're looking for. So,
yeah.
And we definitely should have at least a couple other minds in on this for sure. You know, Gerard should be in on this, and maybe Carl. And if we can ever get Dave online with us, he's a busy guy. He's from the west side of the state. He'd be good for this too, I think. But anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't make it an open forum to get everyone's input on how to write it. I think you should get it the way you want it, and certainly people can look at it then,
right.
and they can object to anything if they want to or affirm it, whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I would say, hey, this is what it is. If anyone puts up a strong enough objection about something, we can look at it. But
right.
But,
well,
the key thing
to this is recording what we're doing because. Then we can refer to the recording before they make an objection, and they'll be able to see in our conversation why we're wording the words we are. I mean, you'll be looking for the proper expression of what we're trying to say and the punctuation to express that, whereas
right.
I'm looking towards the focus of the, of its legal meaning and what exactly we're asking for, you know?
Right, yep.
So, and then people will see those two points being brought together and maybe their disagreement would become agreement.
Right.
Okay, the facts. Gun laws in New York regulate the sale, possession, and use of firearms and ammunition in the state. I think that's good. Is everything good on that?
I think that looks good to me. Gun laws in New York regulate sale, possession, use of firearms and ammunition. And it's, yeah, that looks good to me.
Okay, next line. New York has among the most restrictive gun laws in the nation, period.
That looks good.
Most New York State gun laws are covered in two sections of New York Penal Code, which is pretended law, subsection 265 and subsection 400, titled Firearms and Other Dangerous Weapons, Licensing and Other Provisions Relating to Firearms. These laws ban handgun possession and provide exemptions, including individuals licensed to carry handguns or to possess them for other reasons, including sports, repair, or disposal. So that's a little complex, that one.
Yeah, I think it's mostly good, though. Where you give the title of those subsections there,
yeah.
Is that whole thing the title? Firearms and Other Dangerous Weapons, Licensing and Other Provisions Relating to Firearms?
Yes, those are the titles.
That's the whole thing. Okay. So is that so is there's two separate titles, one for 265?
Yeah, one is Firearms and Other Dangerous Weapons, and the other one is Licensing and Other Provisions Relating to Firearms.
Okay, so those should probably be separated out then. So most New York State gun laws are covered in two sections of New York Penal Code. Okay, let's try this. After New York Penal Code, if you put a colon.
Okay.
Let's see. Most New York State laws are covered in two sections of New York Penal Code, colon. And then you could take out which is and just say pretended law subsection 265 entitled whatever it is.
Right. Yeah, I think 265. Well, let me look because I did. I put these into my ammunition here, I think, if I remember. Let me see. I don't know whether I actually put it into the file yet. But let me see. Footnotes. This would be New York Code. Not there. Code rules. No. Let me see if it's on my desktop. I might not have put it away yet. Copy case. Why did I clean up my desktop? Okay, yeah, I'll probably find it quicker if I just run it online real quick. Let me cut and paste it. I didn't put it away yet, so. Okay, law 265, that should jump up pretty quick because I've looked it up before. Okay, the first one is called, the 265 is called the Firearms and Other Dangerous Weapons. Okay, so let me move that over to that. So pretended laws, subsection 265, I won't put the word titled. I'll just put firearms and other dangerous weapons.
Okay, right.
Okay, then the comma after the weapons.
Right.
And then subsection 400, I'll get rid of the word titled, and it'll be right up against it, licensing and other provisions relating to firearms. And that probably should be, at that point, a semicolon, right?
Let's see. I think it just put a period there.
Period. Okay.
Yeah,
period.
That's you listed them out, and then you can elaborate further. These laws ban handgun possession and provide exemptions, including for individuals
including four individuals, yes.
License to carry handguns, and then take out the comma. So license to carry.
Leave the D on the license?
What's that?
Leave D on the license?
These laws ban handguns and prior exemptions, including individuals' license. Yeah, keep the D there.
Okay.
Yep, including individuals licensed to carry handguns, take out the comma,
okay.
or to possess them for other reasons, including sports, repair, or disposal. That's fine.
Leave the comma after reasons.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, 147. New York Penal Code 260, subsection 265 and subsection 400, and the recent New York State Safe, and that's got to be capital SAFE. Act prevents people from defending themselves, is repugnant to the Second Amendment, and therefore is null and void.
Yep. Just change the is to are repugnant to the Second Amendment.
Okay. Got it.
I'd probably capitalize amendment.
Yes. Should I spell out amendment instead of put the two? I've been doing that before.
Stay consistent, yeah.
Okay, and therefore are null and void.
Yeah,
right?
And therefore are null and void.
Are null and void,
yeah. Is to are, yep.
Okay.
Yep,
the
good.
Fact that the defendant's the fact that the defendant's titled firearms dangerous weapons is a healthy attitude for the state to realize, creating the proper atmosphere for the restraining of evil.
I think that's all good there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Collection of data concerning the people by the state is intimidation and illegal.
I probably put another is in there. Is intimidation and is illegal.
And is illegal. Okay.
Yep.
Everything else is good?
I think everything else looks good.
Okay. 150. Legislators are authorized under the Constitution, ordained by the people, to write statutes and codes enforced as law to control bureaucrats, municipalities, government agencies, elected officials, interstate commerce, and subjects by fraud, but not people, whose rights are unalienable, and cannot be legislated. So that's a little bit of a complex sentence.
No, but that's actually quite good. Yeah, just change the who's, W-H-O apostrophe S, change that to W-H-O-S-E.
Okay, got it.
And that's it. Yeah, good. Otherwise that's good.
All right. 151. This is the backup on this. All codes, rules, and regulations are for government authorities only, not human creators in accordance with God's laws. All codes, rules, and regulation are unconstitutional and lacking due process. And that's a U.S. Supreme Court decision, Rodriguez versus Ray Donovan in 1985.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty recent
in
looking at case law.
That's strong.
Yeah. So that's a good supporting. I just found this recently. I didn't have this before. I just found this. So it came in good timing. Matter of fact, I got a thing from somebody recently, some group I kind of joined up into, and they're sending me constantly legal stuff. And I got like a big document of all kinds of, court rulings, case law, and laws. I got to go through it, and I'm probably going to stick more in here. But they'll be cut and paste, you know.
Hmm.
Okay, 152. In every stage of these oppressions, we have been, and this should sound like the Declaration of Independence. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms, but our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. Sounds familiar, huh?
Yep.
We have warned them from time to time of the attempts by their legislation to extend unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. And it is now clear that the servants that exercise such evil legislation are deaf to the voice of justice. So let this candid fact be proclaimed. Only uncontrolled firearms prevent absolute despotism preserves liberty.
That's right, yeah. So let this candid fact be proclaimed. Only uncontrolled firearms prevent absolute despotism and preserve liberty. Yeah, that's right.
A lot of those words came right out of the Declaration of Independence.
It sounds very much like it, yes.
Yes.
So that last quote, that doesn't come from the Declaration, does it?
No. There are pieces in here that are mine, but I use the framework of conversation of the Declaration here.
So this, is this a direct quote from somewhere?
I'll tell you what's direct. What I remember is being direct. I'll let you know. This is direct until I tell you not. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms, but our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. Now that is a direct quote. All of that.
Okay, that sounds like it.
We have warned them from time to time of the attempts of their legislation to extend unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. Now, I think half of this is theirs and half is mine. I think I came up with of the attempts by their legislation to extend unwarrantable jurisdictions over us.
Yeah, that sounds like you, yeah.
Yes. And it is now clear that the servants that exercise such evil, I think that's theirs. No, that's mine. But the exercise such evil, I think, came out from them. I think it's all mine. It might be all mine. I don't remember, to be honest. No, it is mine because I wanted to get the word evil in here. I remember now when I was writing this. Yeah, this is all mine at this point. And it is now clear that the servants that exercise such evil legislation are deaf to the voice of justice. So all that's mine. Now, this is theirs. So let this candid fact be proclaimed. That's not all mine. Well, that's not all them, but that's part of them. I use so let this candid fact. I think they do something to the world or something be proclaimed.
Okay, yep.
Only uncontrolled firearms prevent absolute despotism and preserves liberty. Yeah, that's mine.
Okay, so you should probably put that. What we were doing throughout the whole prior part of this, if it is a quote, then you were putting
it the quotations
in italics and quotations and stuff. But if you want to emphasize it, you were emboldening and underlining.
Okay.
So just stay consistent with the format.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm not going to embold it, I'm not going to underline it, but I'm going to italicize it and put the quotation marks on it.
Okay.
Okay, so let me go back up to the top. And in every stage of depression, petition, redress, most humble terms, but a repeated decision been answered under repeated injuries. We have warned them from time to time of the attempts of legislation to extend. We have warned them from time to time, and I think that's where it ends, time to time. And so all of that is italicized, and the quotation marks.
Okay, I see what you're doing.
Of attempts of their legislation to extend unwarranted jurisdiction over us, and it is now clear that the servants that exercise such evil legislation are deaf to the voice of justice, mine. So let this candid facts be proclaimed, theirs. Only uncontrolled firearms prevent absolute despotism and preserves liberty. That's mine. So I did that. And look, it. If they don't know where that comes from, I'm not going to tell them where it comes from. If they don't know where that comes from, well, I wouldn't be surprised. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'd say that sounds good.
Okay, next line. We got to be very close. Yeah, I think this is the last line. It is befitting to conclude this paper with the words of Thomas Jefferson, the father and spirit of our American Revolution. Quote, I would rather be exposed to the inconvenience attending to attending too much liberty than those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson cited, wherever people are well informed, they can be trusted with their own government. Again, Thomas Jefferson, till we arrive at our journey's end, when we may deliver up our trusts into the hands of him who gave it and receive such reward as to him shall seem proportioned to our merit. Thomas Jefferson again. And we had went over this before, and this one you gave me the citations, I think.
Yep,
on this.
Yep.
Okay, now the wherefore clause. We're just going to do the first part of the wherefore clause. The A, B, C we're going to do another time because we need other minds in on this. Okay?
Sure, absolutely.
So wherefore, now this, and when you sue, just so you know for your own knowledge and others listening in here, the wherefore clause is the most important of all. I mean, it is true, you have to win the case, so everything's important, but you can win the case and get nothing. And we know a lot of people have done that. Unfortunately, Bob Schultz has won some cases and got nothing because he didn't have a wherefore clause or a good enough wherefore clause to give him enforcement. So anyway, wherefore, the people move this court to find for the people and declare New York Penal Code 265 and 400 and the recent New York SAFE Act, capital S-A-F-E, pretended law, they're going to love that, an infringement upon the unalienable rights of the people, repugnant to the Second Amendment, I'll change that second, therefore null and void, and for the following order with enforcement. So that's pretty good and accurate, and it's the A, B, C's, and D's, which really we're going to have to spell out together with other people.
Yep.
But how does the punctuation work on this? I'm changing second to second.
Right, and then capitalize amendment.
And capitalize amendment, yes.
Right. So wherefore, people move this court to find for the people and declare New York Penal Code 265 and 400 and the recent New York SAFE Act pretended law an infringement upon the unalienable rights of the people, repugnant to the Second Amendment. Therefore null and void, and for the following orders with enforcement. So, let's see, so what's the list here? To find for the people and declare and for the following orders with enforcement. What is that connected to at the end there? And for the following orders with enforcement. What's the what comes before that? Is it to find, move this court to find
okay,
for the following orders?
Here's what we want to find. The court is being moved to find for us, the people.
Right.
And what we're looking for them to do is declaratory judgment, to declare these penal codes and the recently passed New York SAFE Act. We want them to declare that pretended law, an infringement upon the unalienable rights of the people, and repugnant to, probably put end in there. Well, no, it comes up later. Repugnant to the Second Amendment, then maybe here, and therefore null
right.
and void, or and null and void.
Yeah, repugnant. Yeah, you can say and therefore. Yep, so repugnant to the Second Amendment, and therefore null and void.
Right.
What number
null
you
and void.
On, guys?
Hey, how you doing? Who's this?
Helena. I couldn't come before. I had another responsibility. I had
how you doing? hang on one second. We're just at the end of this wherefore clause. Beginning
what number
of
are you? Because I did some work on it during the day.
We're at the wherefore, page 33. Let's see now.
It's
Let me,
page 30. It's page 34 in our version.
34. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now and. Now, that's the declaration we want them to make. We want them to say these are pretended laws. We want them to say it's an infringement. We want them to say it's repugnant. We want them to say it's null and void. Now,
right.
not only do we want – that's what we want the court to say.
Right.
Okay, that's the declaration. And for the following order with enforcement. So we're getting from the court the declaration, the declaratory point, and an order – and enforcement, and that order enforcement is going to bring, we need them to recompense. We're letting them off easy. And we may not have a choice but to let them off easy anyway, because it's our entire New York State government. It's the full legislature, and it's the full Senate, and it's the governor.
Yeah.
I mean, because ultimately they are all guilty of treason. They are all worthy of jail at minimum. I don't know about the death penalty, but they're definitely all worthy of jail. And 10 years I don't think is enough. But there has to be a recompense at minimum, even though they're not going to be punished with a money punishment, although we can go after them civilly, and we're not going to punish them with a criminal thing, even though we're declaring both in these papers. But we're going after these guys to be repentive. And they don't have to be repentive in the heart. All they have to do is repentive in the lips, because the concern that I have, and I'm sure you have and we all have, is for them to say it out of their own lips and in public, declared where it flows through every airways of New York State, therefore a press conference, by all three, separate or together, to declare exactly these things, that they're repugnant. Now we're going to get into those details. A, judgment order with enforcement, first towards the government, then B, judgment order with order. And even if they're the same thing and repetitive, it doesn't matter. They have to be very specific and focused. This is what the governor is to do. This is what the Senate is to do. This is what the Assembly is to do. And so the recompense is the correction of the problem, and that's all we're asking for, okay? And then the action of the Assembly and the Senate to not only make the declaration, but to disassemble those laws and reassemble laws that might be appropriate if necessary. I don't think there's anything necessary to reassemble, because I read subsection 35, and subsection 35 is reasonable, but it's abused, okay? I haven't found a problem in subsection 35, but what I did find is the execution of subsection 35 by sheriffs and judges and cops, and we're going to correct that on that level at another time.
Where are you working?
With the political power.
What thing are you what are you reading now? You're talking a lot about, you know, your ideas, but what section are you on?
What do you mean?
What number?
This is we're past the numbers. This is on.
This is the wherefore clause. The end of the end.
Oh, I
of
thought
thing.
You said 33.
Oh no, yeah, he was talking about a section of a code.
Yeah,
oh,
that
okay.
was subsection 35.
Oh, what page are we on?
Yeah, 34.
Oh, okay.
Did I say 33 though before?
Well, I think you said 33, but that's in the that might be in your version.
What page we're on? Okay, yes.
Yeah.
I wanted what page we're on.
No. So
where
are you, A or B or what? 35 though, but that's the law. That's the
where are you? A, B, where are you?
Well, no, we're not going to do A, B, C, and D. That we're going to do with other people, because we have to be very careful to make sure. What we're going to do is I'm going to explain.
I just want to know where you are, John. Are you done?
Wherefore clause. The wherefore
clause,
right
I
before
see.
The
okay.
A.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
We just finished that paragraph, and we're looking at the punctuation now.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and I think you pretty much got it with the stuff we just said, you know, correcting the SAFE Act and the Second Amendment and everything. I think I'm okay with that. If you want to read it back one more time, that's fine.
And wherefore, the people move this court to find for the people and declare New York Penal Code subsection 265, subsection 400, and the recent New York SAFE Act, pretended law, an infringement upon the unalienable rights of the people, repugnant to the Second Amendment, and therefore null and void, and for the following orders with enforcement. Now, enforcement means...
Do you have a comma after act? And you should have, you know, your... how does it read off? You know, the New York Safe Enforcement, blah, 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 of 2013, comma, pretended law.
So comma after the act, you think?
Yeah, because it's not part of the act. You don't have...
That's true. That's true.
Oh,
you
have
New
York Act 2013, pretended law.
Right.
Too
yeah.
bad it isn't called that.
Oh, you want them to declare those things as pretended law, right?
All of those things
there.
Are pretended law.
Right.
You know, penal codes and the SAFE Act.
Unless you just want to leave out pretended law, you just want them to,
Oh,
you
no,
want
no,
them,
no. I
want
them
to
use
those
words.
You don't want them to quibble with your definition.
Oh, no, 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 no. I want them to use those words.
Okay. But
we're
Jen,
fighting
put,
for those
you have
words.
To put a comma, I would think. Don't you agree, sir, whoever? Is that Chris?
Yeah, it's Chris. Hey.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to figure on that one.
Yeah,
yeah, because it's not part of the act.
Yeah, but that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but unless you want to put the word as in there, declare New York Penal Code 265-400 and the recent New York Safe Act of 2013 as pretended law.
That works for me.
Because that clears it up, yeah.
Yeah, but instead of New York Safe Act, you have to say the whole thing.
Yeah.
No, well, we
secure
put capital S-A-F-E.
No.
Oh, because earlier on, I think, I forget
we
where it is.
We did a here and after clause.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we did a here
yeah,
and after clause.
Yeah, but it's nice to tie up, to me, it's nice to tie up this final piece with...
No, I'll tell you why, because it's common practice to do that. Well, no, I'm just telling you, within the courts, and we want to minimize things as much as possible,
right.
too.
Okay.
But it is common practice in the courts, and
yeah,
I want to say this just not only for you, but...
I know that.
Recorded, but I want this is a lesson for everyone because we're really trying to teach people to think about these things and to see, they may seem to be difficult to some degree, but it really is easy and really quite fun in my opinion.
No, I understand. I'm familiar with reading law, some of it, not in this case, but the reason I said that was because you're in the wherefore clause. That's the only reason, but that's okay.
Well, they do make a big stink, and as a matter of fact, when we were taught from the lawyer that we had taught, were taught as far as procedure was concerned, we learned procedure from a lawyer. And from that lawyer that we were taught procedure he did make the point that once you say something once, never say it again. There's no need to ever say it again. Don't be redundant. Try to pull the redundancies out, and that keeps you clearer, too.
Okay. Well, are you going to have this... some kind of lawyer review this?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well,
I knew that was
you
coming.
You got some guidance.
We learned
I finished speaking. A common law?
Huh?
A common law person that knows common law
That's us. That's the people. We the people know the common
law. Yeah, it doesn't hurt to have a second opinion. I don't know about Chris.
If we were to take on a common law lawyer, he'd have to spend time with us. We have to see where he's coming from. We may have to correct him. So far, I haven't met a lawyer yet that understands what we're talking about. And even lawyers that claim to understand common law, they haven't got a clue. Although there was a guy that we found down south that was a lawyer and who created an agency. He gave up his license and created a law firm. I think it was Florida or some southern state. And he was also establishing law firms in other states for people who wanted to do the same, so he was sharing his knowledge. We were trying to get a hold of him, but we lost that connection. So hopefully we'll re-find it again.
What's his name?
If I knew, I would have been on the phone with him already.
Oh, I thought you said connection. You lost his name. Okay.
We lost everything. It was in an email, and I accidentally deleted it, I presume, because when I went looking for it, it wasn't there anymore.
Okay.
But this is all we the people. We don't want lawyers. We don't want and if anybody's going to hop in on with us on this that has a background of common law, I'm not going to be very trusting very quickly. I'm going to listen very carefully and hear what he says and how he produces things to see if he understands what we understand.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something. We are extremely advanced, not that we're smart, because that's not the case.
But that's
what
I mean.
We're extremely advanced because of the teachers we have, who we had the opportunity to fall upon at this time period in life.
Yeah, I'll have to ask you about another time because I was thinking about this guy. He does the courses. Or he does this on his website or something. So, just so you have somebody else, sort of.
Well, too many cooks. I'm perfectly happy with this, to be honest with you, Helena.
I know
too many cooks spoil the broth, and I'll tell you what. I feel this is a masterpiece, in my opinion. Now that we've cleaned it up and got the language good and the punctuation good, I and we re. reframed in certain order, which mm-hmm. we may consider a couple of things, but I don't think we have to, you know, to move around.
Well, it certainly doesn't hurt. I'll tell you, when you write and you do something, you won't see something that you've done wrong.
I absolutely agree with you, but he's got to get in the trenches
week.
With us. If you can find a guy that wants to work with us and get into the trenches, if he's going to sit up on the
okay.
mountaintop and come down to help us from time to time, I don't even want to know him. And that's how I feel.
Okay,
we want people in the trenches.
It doesn't need a mountaintop. It just needs somebody to go over it when you're finished.
Okay.
Okay. All right, bye. I mean, not bye, but okay.
Okay.
I don't want to hold you up. So you're ending here?
I think that was pretty much it, right? Right, John?
Okay, we lost but, John.
What, did we lose him? We lost him at the very end. Oh, he must have got... He must have got kicked off.
Maybe he tried to mute me and it didn't work.
You know, didn't he accidentally get kicked off at about the same time last night? Or I forget what time it was, but we lost him late last night too.
Yeah, maybe he just touches something and it goes. But you think he said I was wondering why nobody heard me. So maybe he has to call back in. So
yeah.
How did it go tonight? Because I spent time during the day going over what I had, but I had the 19-page one.
Oh, okay,
and,
yeah.
And I didn't have a 33-page one.
Yeah, I
and
think...
And there was something that I was concerned about, and but I don't even know if it's still there anymore. One of the things I was concerned about was... kind of good that John's not on, because then I could think. I don't know. There was something with, I thought maybe something with the citation was missing. That was self versus raw. That would used to be 40, but I don't know what it is.
Oh, that's
and
interesting.
Then,
I don't
but that's
that
tiny.
One.
That's tiny. It was a big
yeah.
thing. Let me see. Oh, I had a question. It was Second Amendment preserves liberty. It says for the state to audaciously infringe upon this unalienable right. And I was wondering, who is the state? Because I've heard some people refer to the state as the people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that was one question I had. And that's what I meant with John, you know, just somebody to kind of look at this. There's a guy that, I forgot his name. I know what, because I listen to shortwave, so I hear a lot of stuff. I hear a lot of programs and people that are into this stuff and, you know, you'll see their names or hear them a lot. So,
yep.
I don't know why he wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, that's yeah. I mean, this is fairly new ground for me. I mean, that's why I would definitely say don't look to me for any kind of, you know.
No, me neither. But that's why I think
you
need a second opinion, because if two heads are pouring over this, that they don't see their own.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds like you write or you edit or do something, and wouldn't you agree you don't even see it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I pride myself on finding, you know, the vast bulk of errors and things, but yeah, there's things that I've made mistakes myself that I go find them like much later and say, "Whoa, my gosh, how did I miss that?"
Using a wrong word.
Yeah.
Spelling something wrong or
yep.
Yeah.
So yeah,
well,
that's
maybe John said goodbye.
No, he would have turned off the whole program thing. He's got the talk show. I think he's got the web chat going here. I think he would have shut the whole thing down. So
What I thought was weird? It said it was number 58 under purpose of the Second Amendment.
All right, I'm back, by the way.
Oh,
let me end this recording here, okay?
Okay.
Give me 1 second.